I don't get why everybody has to have their own cover version of the Go the F to Sleep that Samuel L. Jackson read.
Right.
Like, I think Morgan Freeman did a version.
Mm-hmm.
LeVar Burton.
Yep.
What twist are you going to add on it that Samuel L. Jackson didn't really communicate? Because with LeVar Burton or anybody else, what's the damage if you don't go to sleep? Samuel Jackson's house, you know God ain't going to come down and deflect those MF bullets.
No, huh?
You can go to sleep for tonight, or it could be forever. It's your choice.
Right, yeah. Well,
and Bryan Cranston from, is it Breaking Bad?
Yes.
He's recorded, I guess it's a sequel to Go to the F to Sleep.
Yeah. The same author, he's got his new book, Why Won't You Effing Eat? Or he says, the new title is You Have to Effing Eat. The follow-up to author Adam Mansbach's best-selling Go the F to Sleep. You can download it for free until December 12th, and then there's, you know, the censored preview clip on YouTube.
Yeah, I just pulled a half-minute clip. I pulled Samuel L. Jackson just as a primer.
The cats nestle close to their kittens. The lambs have laid down with the sheep. You're cozy and warm in your bed, my dear. Please go the f*** to sleep.
And now the sequel with Bryan Cranston.
Mm-hmm.
The bunnies are munching on carrots. The lambs nibble grasses and bleat. I know you're too hungry to reason with, but you have to f***ing eat. Oh, now you're hungry. Tough shit. Kitchen's closed. Have some more.
Wow.
Are these all seriously supposed to be for children?
No,
I know Samuel L. Jackson, in an interview, he said, I really say to my kids, go the F to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, it's different parenting styles.
Because, you know, my daughter will even come in my bedroom time to time. Go to F to sleep now, Daddy? Yeah.
Yeah, then, of course, you know, like if your child swears at school, the teacher usually has to have some sort of parent-teacher conference. Imagine that with Samuel Jackson's kids.
No, they're not going to have that.
No.
Do you want him up there?
No.
So these are, the question is, are these really for children?
No, but yes.
Okay.
Have to f***ing eat. Oh, now you're hungry. Tough shit, kitchen's closed. Have some warm milk for me, a scotch, neat. Pancakes, yeah, right. It's bedtime, child. It's too goddamn late now to eat.
I think to answer the other question you had earlier is, why are these so popular? Is Samuel L. Jackson just for the fear factor because he sounds scary? But with LeVar Burton, Morgan Freeman, with their versions, you weren't used to hearing them use foul language. So it was kind of fun. And then, of course, LeVar Burton, you throw in the added, you know, the Reading Rainbow stuff, and well.
And now other people are getting in on it with their own versions.
All country stars live in dreamland. The Garth is my choice for a chug. I'm CMA Entertainer of the Year. Why is it so hard to get a f***ing hug? The big star.
This Luke Bryan cow must have 7 or 8 udders because we've been milking this for over a week.
It's one of the amazing things of this here program is.
Yeah, I'd like to hear an explanation, please.
Is the ability to insert where you would least expect things that we're on to.
All country stars live in dreamland. The Garth is my choice for a chug. I'm CMA Entertainer of the Year. Why is it so hard to get a f***ing hug? The big stars fly high above the treetops. Through the air they soar and they sweep. Some choose to play electric, some play unplugged. But for real, man, why can't I get f***ing hugged? Country music is supposed to be a family. Fans know we need love and they amply supply. A hug is really nice, I think we all agree. All I'm saying is, I'm Luke Bryan. Hi.
It's rather lovely.
Actually, we missed one rhyming line in there, but that's okay. Yeah.
I don't think anyone's really paying too much attention to the verse.
I like to read with your beginning, just the despair, just the confusion. Why?
Yeah. All country stars live in dreamland. The Garth is my choice for a chug. I'm CMA Entertainer of the Year. Why is it so hard to get a f***ing hug?
These are the things that probably keep him up at night.
It's just not. It's just not a read. I really want to know.
Yeah, it's like he was having his own personal thoughts, yeah. And somebody recorded it and slipped music underneath it. Mm-hmm. I'm just sitting at home.
I'm just talking. I'm feeling things.
You're what?
I'm feeling things. I never know when TMZ's going to show up and just record things from underneath my bed. Big stars fly high above the treetops. Through the air they soar and they sweep. Some choose to play electric, some play unplugged. But for real, man, why can't I get f***ing hugged? Country music is supposed to be a family. Fans know we need love and they amply supply. A hug is really nice, I think we all agree. All I'm saying is, I'm Luke Bryan. Hi.
Lucky sir, just ready to be hugged. I love it.
All right, this one's just for us. You ready?
No.
Okay, you'll like this a lot better.
Cool.
All country stars live in dreamland. The Garth is my choice for a chug. I'm CMA Entertainer of the Year. Why is it...
Oh, yeah, I was not ready for that.
That was mid-breath.
Yeah.
I got things under control.
You caught me between heartbeats.
Yeah.
It's just things. Even though you know what the word is, it's being bleeped. It just adds a lot more to it when it's not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to start keeping the originals.
Okay.
Before I bleep them. In fact, that version, the unbleeped one. Mm-hmm. Should be posted on RussMartin.com now.
Oh, lovely.
I think listeners would enjoy that.
I would imagine many would. Potty mouth Luke Bryan.
Yeah, I had a bunch of things to cut up right before the beginning of the show. I got... a new copy from...
High fructose corn syrup can be bad for your kid's health. Well,
oh, no.
I'm here today to tell you about a natural alternative. I've teamed up...
This is the original.
Okay.
And if you're like me, you know that too much high fructose corn syrup can be bad for your kid's health. Well, I'm here today to tell you about a natural alternative. I've teamed up with the American Sugar Producers Association to help promote the variety of 100% genuine sugars.
No.
Ready?
No. Yes.
Hey, it's Billy the Kid. As a concerned parent, I'm always careful about what I feed the kids. And if you're like me, you know that too much high fructose corn syrup can be bad for your kid's health. Well, I'm here today to tell you about a natural alternative. I've teamed up with the American Sugar Producers Association to help promote the variety of 100% genuine sugars. Sugars come in all different types and colors. There's beetroot sugars, powdered sugars, cane sugars, and, of course, brown sugars.
Ha 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 ha. I'm laughing at something else. Not this. It's not this at all.
Line two, Alfie?
Oh. Yes, please.
Yes, Brian.
Oh, my God. You know, every time I think I'm done with the Luke Bryan stuff, I'm like, all right, this is done. I find myself laughing like a 15-year-old boy again.
All right, let me ask you, as a professional listener, how much longer do you really think we can milk this?
I don't know, dude. I don't want you to stop.
Look at you, Dan.
What?
With the Luke Bryan thing, you've become the new Gangnam Style guy.
Oh, well.
Psy.
Okay.
Gangnam Style.
No.
Yeah, I think Luke may have to do a country cover version of that.
Say, pretty lady.
Say, pretty lady.
Obviously, you'd have to come up with a different dance.
Mm-hmm.
The hug.
Yes. That makes... Yes.
I love hugs.
Get back to Billy.
Hey, it's Billy the Kid. As a concerned parent, I'm always careful about what I feed the kids. And if you're like me, you know that too much high fructose corn syrup can be bad for your kids' health. Well, I'm here today to tell you about a natural alternative. I've teamed up with the American Sugar Producers Association to help promote the variety of 100% genuine sugars. Sugars come in all different types and colors. There's beetroot sugars, powdered sugars, cane sugars, and, of course, brown sugars. One of the most common, everybody knows about brown sugars. Don't step foot in the kitchen without genuine sugars. A little sugar can help you out with any dish. With sugars, cooking a Thanksgiving feast becomes a breeze. Last year, I tried to cook a sugar-free Thanksgiving meal, and I can tell you...
I keep having to remind myself of what he's actually saying, because... This one sounds possibly is one of the worst.
Actually, this one was a little harder to bleep.
Well,
you can't just bleep shug and it comes out exactly the way you need it. Mm-hmm. They're just, trust me, there are idiosyncrasies you have to work around.
Sure.
Tigers, that one's piece cake.
Yeah, yeah.
That bleeps itself. Because if you get just a little bit of the S at the beginning and... Too much of the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It blows it.
Gotcha.
I work very hard on my...
Oh, I know.
Unnecessary editing. And by the way, we were doing this long before Jimmy Kimmel, so I don't want any emails.
That's true.
Knows about brown sugars. Don't step foot in the kitchen without genuine sugars. A little sugar can help you out with any dish. With sugars, cooking a Thanksgiving feast becomes a breeze. Last year, I tried to cook a sugar-free Thanksgiving meal, and I can tell you that everyone was disappointed. Trust me. The kids were crying. My girlfriend was mad. That was when I discovered just how much everyone in my family loves sugars. So don't make the same mistake I did. This holiday season, make sure your pantry is stocked with 100% genuine sugars. Now I am the king of the kitchen, and my sugars do all the work. My relatives, they all...
Oh, Billy.
So realize after we go into this first break, we're out of stuff for the day.
I know. I'm trying to revel in it. Soak it up.
My girlfriend was mad. That was when I discovered just how much everyone in my family loves sugars. So don't make the same mistake I did. This holiday season, make sure your pantry is stocked with 100% genuine sugars. Now I am the king of the kitchen, and my sugars do all the work. My relatives, they all love the fact that I've started using real sugars again. They're so happy. I can't wait to hear my grandma say, come on, Billy, give grandma some sugar. And I thought she hated sugars. I don't know. What can I say? I guess we're just a family of sugar lovers now.
Oh, my God. That's so bad.
The Russ Martin we'll be back. Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
3:33, first check on traffic over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coyes and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Rules of Engagement on TXA 21, starting off in Dallas. Southbound I-35, right at Commerce Street, got a stalled vehicle blocking the right lane there. Traffic is backed up back from Inwood Road. In Plano, southbound 75, right at Spring Creek Parkway, got some delays there from an earlier stalled vehicle. Traffic there is backed up back from Bethany Drive. Same thing in Fort Worth. Southbound 35W, right at Highway 287, Decatur Cutoff. There was a stalled vehicle there. Traffic is backed up back from Keller Hicks. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Supercuts. Tonight clear and 23. Then tomorrow sunny with a high of 46. Right now it's 39 at 97.1 the Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 the Eagle.
What do you got now?
What do I have?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I actually have, let's see. So I also had the Bryan Cranston thing. Actually, this is good. I didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday. Cut 6 is the first one. Fox News aired, this is from 2 days ago, this is from the first part of their exclusive interview with Navy SEAL, former Navy SEAL Ryan O'Neill, who has come forward and claimed he is, in fact, the one that had the kill shots on Osama bin Laden. So cut 6, this is him talking about how his team finally figured out that they were going after bin Laden.
We just gotten back from deployment number 11 for me. We went to Miami to dive. We got the call from there that they were calling back a couple of us, not all of us. And other guys from other trips had been recalled. They were all senior guys. And they sat us in a room and they said, hey, we found a thing. And the thing's in a house and the house is in a bowl. And the bowl's in a country and you're going to go to that house and you're going to get a thing and you're going to bring it back to us. That was it.
Is that the way they referred to bin Laden the entire time, the thing?
No, that was the way they were initially told about it. So they were given very little information, in fact, none, about what or, and oh, okay. or whom they were going to go after. Then cut 7.
Well, this isn't over.
Oh, okay.
We assumed it was Gaddafi because it was the Arab Spring. Well, how are we getting there? Can't tell you.
Who did I say, bin Laden? But it's Gaddafi. Oh, they assumed it was Gaddafi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where's the country? Can't tell you. What's the thing? Can't tell you. So we assumed we would be flying off a Navy ship from the Mediterranean into Libya, and then we'd go in there, grab Gaddafi, and bring him out. They told us a couple of things, like, we're going to read you in eventually, and here's who's going to be there. And they said a few names that didn't make sense. You know, a few of us were talking a couple days later about this person, why would they be there? It's bin Laden. They found him. We're going to go get him.
And then?
Cut 7 is O'Neill talking about how everyone went into the mission thinking that it was just going to be a one-way trip.
The more we trained on it, the more we realized this is going to be a one-way mission. We're going to go and we're not going to come back. We're going to die when the house blows up. We're going to die when he blows up. Or we're going to be there too long. We're going to get arrested by the Pakistanis and we're going to spend the rest of our short lives in Pakistan prison.
What's it like training for something so hard, so intensely, when you don't think that you're going to survive the mission?
Well,
if you don't think you're going to survive, normally we don't train that hard. Really, that'd be my philosophy. If there was no way out and I had to go and there was no place for me to hide, mm-hmm. How hard do you train? Not at all. You just go in with guns blazing and shoot the whoever's wearing a t-shirt that says thing, and we're done.
Now, thankfully, that's not how they operate, but even if that's what they did do, no one would have blamed them.
Lives in Pakistan prison.
What's it like training for something so hard, so intensely, when you don't think that you're going to survive the mission?
Well, it was worth it, because this is it. We would have moments, we'd joke around and laugh, but then all of a sudden it kind of hits you again. It's like, all right, let's get serious again, because this is going to happen and we're not coming home.
Was that a sad
feeling?
No,
it was more of a, you know, we're going to die eventually. This is a good way to go, and it's worth it to kill him.
Okay, initially from the interviewer, whoever that is, was it sad? Well, yeah, it's sad. I guess when you get to that level of heroism, I got to do it. I got no choice. Being sad is not going to make this trip any more or less enjoyable. So let's just relish it since he's got to be killed.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you can be sad for your family, sad for yourself, that you may not see your family again, but ultimately, this is what you do, and it's not just what you do, it's who you are. And for some of these guys, it might have been the whole reason they joined the military in the first place, was to fight terrorism and revenge for 9/11. So, yeah, if you're going to die at some point, why not in this manner?
But what's where's the joy and revenge if you die doing it?
Because you have a hand in ending this person.
I know, but then you're dead. You don't really know about it.
No, but you would know about it leading up to it. And that's the advantage. And he's right, though, because it really was one of those things, because they're going into Pakistan, or they did. They didn't have permission. They didn't know if this compound was going to be wired by bin Laden to blow up at a certain point. And on the other hand, if something goes south when they're trying to get him or whatever, military decides at the op isn't going well, let's just blow it all to hell.
I'm missing the part where I would enjoy this after it was all said and done, if I'm dead.
Well, if you're dead, no, obviously you're not going to enjoy it. It's leading up to that you enjoy the fact that if you die, you know that if you die, he dies too.
See, in my mind, that revenge doesn't really work that way. It's like if I wanted somebody off the air in this market, and I figured out the only way I could do it was to somehow damn their show and mine at the same time, I'm not going that route. I want to win. And if we both go, then I don't really win. It's not a game show I go on.
No, I understand. It's
just I know we're talking about different scenarios. But just to have the mindset of not, hey, we may not come back. It's, yeah, I don't think we're coming back.
You know, did you know what the difference is?
I certainly don't.
What I think the difference is their approach to it is not so much about me, or as in I will die and I will lose this fight. It's I might die, but my country, I can look at this man and say, you lose.
And that's the difference between a hero, somebody in the military, police and fire, and me. I've made our country better. But I'm dead and I don't get to enjoy it. So that, let's think of something else. Can't we just start dropping things on things? Man, that was big back in the 40s. Why can't we go back to that?
Well,
we used to love to drop stuff on stuff.
And we still do. We do. It's just much more focused.
Nothing to the extent of World War II. I pissed us off. Drop one here. Okay. Now, you want a fresh one? You going to surrender? You're not going to surrender. All right, I'll drop another one.
I know, it kind of makes you wonder how Truman would have responded to 9/11. Because not everyone, but a lot of people made the jokes. Just, you know, let's just drop a nuke in the Middle East, and then we'll just set up gas stations. That might have been Truman's approach.
I still don't understand. Who was Hirohito?
Uh-huh.
After we dropped the big goose egg on Hiroshima. Like, me as emperor? I go, well, they mean business.
Well, maybe.
You gonna surrender? No. Come on, dude. Because at the time, it was Truman dealing with him, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if before Truman was FDR?
Yes.
I wonder if he would have dropped it on him.
I think so.
I know the whole thinking was, if we don't, there's going to be, the loss of American life, soldiers, military, is just going to be so great. Plus, you came and look what you did to Pearl Harbor. Well, that was a military installation. Well, yeah, we probably had one in Hiroshima. I'm sure we got it. I know it was a horrific event, and I've watched documentaries. It's just amazing to drop something with that power on a city where not everybody in that city is against the United States.
Hmm.
And I'm sure Truman, either he enjoyed it or he didn't. I know that's kind of noncommittal. But I would hope that he was just praying, come on, hero. Hirohito.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and surrender. Don't make me drop this other one.
And that's, I haven't read up enough on it to know if Hirohito thought that, I bet they don't have two of those.
Yeah, they had to put all their money into that one because that one was, that one was huge.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, they blew their wad. He might have been thinking, okay, the U.S. just blew their wad on that one and sucks to be there.
There.
But I'm still here and, oh no, they've got a second one. I think at that point he's like, okay, even if they don't have a third, I give up.
I know it was after the bombing on the Nagasaki that brought Japan surrendered, but I can't remember how long afterwards. I don't know if they thought of... certainly they don't have three. we didn't think they had more than one.
It wasn't instant because as far as, you know, coming up with a treaty for surrender, that's where you have to have high-ranking individuals on both sides meet, and then they hammer out some details, which I'd say 2 days after Nagasaki.
That's a pretty quick surrender.
It is, absolutely. Because at that point, you can just kind of dangle one over Tokyo and be like, we're serious, we have three. Now, let's have a chat.
Anything I remember reading about the dropping on Nagasaki, I just always remember phrasing of immediately brought World War II to an immediate halt. So 2 days is pretty fast if it was something like that.
I want to say it was pretty close to that.
I'm looking online. Manhattan Project.
Nagasaki was August 6th, and it looks like August 15th, Emperor Hirohito addressed the nation on radio and said, hey, stop.
So a week.
Well, again, that's a pretty good turnaround for a world war.
Yeah. And I don't really know how many actual battles took place after Nagasaki. Because I would imagine at that point, Japan's kind of in shock. And I imagine that any islands they might still occupy, they might be thinking, I'm going to hang out here for a bit.
I don't know.
Or maybe
I may want to hang
boat.
Out here, or I may not want to hang out here.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you decide to row to the Philippines. Well, actually, they're already occupying parts of that, so never mind.
Samson's a fat man. The city of Nagasaki, August 9th. Within the first 2 to 4 months of the bombings, the acute effects of the atomic... This is Nagasaki. The effects of the atomic bombings killed 90,000 to 166,000 people. And Hiroshima and 60 to 80,000 Nagasaki. So obviously Hiroshima was the bigger of the two. Radiation sickness. On August 15th, just days after the bombing of Nagasaki and the Soviet Union's declaration of war, Japan announced its surrender to the Allies. On September 2nd, it signed the instrument of surrender, effectively ending the World War, or World War II. The bombings' role in Japan's surrender and their ethical justification are still debated. And as president, I'd like to think I had the balls to go, all right, enough. You've attacked, at least in this instance, we knew who did it.
Yeah.
With the attack on the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and the crashing of the plane in Pennsylvania. Is that right?
Yes, Shanksville.
We guessed. We just knew somebody was going to eat something.
Yeah, we were just waiting for some idiot to raise their hand and say, it was me.
It was you?
Basically, like when Bin Laden finally raised his hand and said,
oh,
I did.
Because you kind of sound like Luke Bryan when you said that.
Oh, no. It was not Luke Bryan. He had nothing to do with 9/11. He's a good dude.
Okay. Is the government pissed, or military officials pissed, that these SEALs or whoever that went after Bin Laden, aren't they twisted at these guys?
Oh, yeah. SOCOM's pissed. that's the the SOCOM, the guys that oversee it, one of them actually did an open letter, released an open letter to the military, specifically the SEAL team, saying, this is not who we are. The reason why this guy came forward is because another Navy SEAL on the same team who was there that night tried making the claim for himself that he was the one that shot bin Laden.
Yeah, he was the one, whatever his name is,
Matt
said, I'm the one that popped three rounds in his head. I didn't realize that was really something that they did. I did it, and now I can write a book. Well, you can't really prove that you did it. And if there's nobody else around, I thought it was a collective effort, like football game.
That was how it was initially. Because after the mission, when SEAL Team 6 returned home and they met with the president asked him, all right, who shot him? This Ryan O'Neill said to the president, we all did.
And then I punched Farah.
Oh, God, that's good.
Sorry.
So anyway, and that was the perfect ending. That's the way it should have been. That's the way it should have stayed, I should say. But unfortunately, it didn't.
Any ramifications against these guys? Are they already out of the service?
Yeah, they've both already left the service. Matt Bissonnette, he was the first one to come out, and he did the book. And the book that he wrote, of course, he's actually suing his attorneys because his attorneys told him he did not need to run the book past the Department of Defense for review. So they just released it. The DOD was a little unhappy about that. So now he's suing his attorneys for bad legal advice. And then this guy's come out and he's since left the service as well, saying, no, it was the other guy was there. He may have put a bullet in him, but I'm the one that finished it. I just prefer everything I knew about the SEALs before this was, we did it. We all did it together. Team effort, blah, blah. It's like Jason Garrett. It's a process. And today we gave them more bullets than they gave us. It was a good day. We had a good week of practice.
And then we spiked him off an aircraft carrier.
Amen.
Were you going to say something, Clone?
I would just worry that, you know, there would be a target on my head if I was.
As far as the terrorists go?
Yeah.
If you say I'm the one that did it?
Mm-hmm.
These guys don't seem to get rattled about a whole lot, so I'm guessing this really isn't in their nature.
The terrorists? Yeah, no, they're
not the terrorists.
The SEALs.
Who Chloe's talking about.
Okay.
Let's see. How long we got, Chloe?
About 3.5.
Okay. What else you got then?
I've also got Cut 8.
Oh, this can't be real.
You just play it and see.
I'm looking at how it's labeled. That's a parrot?
That is a parrot.
Well, we know who he's doing.
There's no question. That is
has this gone viral?
It's fairly viral. This is.
I'd have been better if he had a followed it with something else.
Well, yeah, but it's a parrot, and his name is Einstein, and that's his, Matthew McConaughey.
Well, it's not that hard to really get him to repeat one word over and over. I want sentences. I want that parrot to talk about how he's sitting the road in his new Lincoln rolling a booger, watching this steer.
Osiris.
Those spots for Lincoln with McConaughey are just, I don't know if esoteric's the right word. It's just, he's just kind of mumbling to himself, you know, as he's driving along. And I love driving Lincolns. I've been driving Lincolns before they even paid me to drive Lincolns because it's just cool. And that's it. That's a spot.
You nailed it.
And then doesn't really say anything. I guess they think his influence, his charisma is enough for somebody to look at it and go, all right, if that's the new symbol of cool, then I got to get one.
And I'm sure it will help because Lincoln is not exactly a cool brand leading up to these spots. At the very least, they're getting their money's worth as far as attention because the spots are weird, and so they stand out.
And then here comes Jim Carrey.
What does he promote? Oh, on SNL?
Yeah, because then he does the spoofs of the Lincoln spot. So then they're getting free advertising on top of that. And then the other spoofs that people have done, like Ellen did one making fun of McConaughey's commercials as well. So, I mean, for whatever they spent in the campaign to get McConaughey in a Lincoln and to talk to himself.
Yeah, because it's all it's just all voiceover.
Yeah.
McConaughey talking over himself. Well, he just has this intent look of, man, I'm really inside my head right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't actually move my lips. They should do one of those to where you realize somehow it's not a voiceover and he's just started doing ventriloquism. Bet you can't even see my lips moving right now.
All right.
I got this one. This ain't that hard.
I got my hand in its butt.
That Ahmed, the dead terrorist.
Stop the camera.
And that thing on a stick.
On a stick.
Watch this. I'll do this in the car during this commercial. You won't even see my lips move.
I kill you!
I mean, if people are already making parodies of it, go ahead and do one of your own as one of the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Or finally flick that booger.
During the Bull commercial, when he's rolling the booger and he's talking about Osiris, I thought at one point, okay, maybe he will just eventually flick it at the Bull and just to see what happens. And then he ends it with, sometimes you just got to flick a booger at a Bull. Just keep living, huh?
I know it was supposed to be a reflective look because it was kind of leaned over like this, just doing the finger, the index finger and the thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just thinking, I can't think unless I pretend I'm rolling a booger. And I think it was Dan that pointed out to me, and went, did you see the booger spot? No, because the McConaughey, the Bull, the steer, the thing in the road, the Lincoln. Oh, where was the booger? It was... In his hand, he's rolling it through the entire spot.
The whole damn time.
You're right. You watch it and you're going, man, that's almost 30 seconds. I flicked it by then.
That must have been a wet bug.
Yeah.
I'm going to drive by and I'm going to wipe it on that cow. All right, we got a break. We'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show, afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
403, this is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Supercuts. Let's get started off in Dallas, westbound I-30, right at 75. Got an accident there. It's now in the clearing stage. This traffic there is backed up back from Munger. Into Mesquite, eastbound Highway 80, right at Galloway. Got a stalled vehicle blocking the exit there. Traffic is backed up back at 635. In Garland, southbound 635, right at La Prada. Got an accident blocking the two right lanes. Traffic's backed up back from Kingsley. And finally, a big one in Melissa, north of McKinney, northbound 75, somewhere between Telephone Road and Highway 121 in Melissa. Road construction there has that roadway stopped down in just one lane. That has traffic backed up back for an hour, all the way back to 121 in McKinney. So try and find another way through that. If you see an accident out there, call the Allstate Traffic Tip Line. Phone number is 214-866-8888. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Raising Cane's. Clear skies tonight and really, really cold. Overnight low 23. Then tomorrow, sunny and much like today, a high in the mid-40s. Right now, it is 39 and 97.1 The Eagle.
Most morning shows say they're a different type of show. Ours really is a different type of morning show. It's on in the afternoons. The Russ Martin Show on 97.1 The Eagle.
You know, we were talking about guitars and me and playing yesterday and...
Oh, yeah, and how...
12 years and can't and whatever.
And thumbs.
The guy emailed me after the show because he couldn't understand what we were talking about. Since I can't play a song exactly, I just can't hit the right strings. So I have to do either bar chords, which are easy, but the moving around and doing a real C or whatever, I can't. I could if that's all I had to play. Just glued my fingers to those strings, played that one chord, I could do it.
Sure.
Because I don't understand how you're cheating. But dude, that's something you gotta learn on your own.
Yeah.
And what did you mean? You play the beginning of Start Me Up backwards. Well, I didn't really mean backwards. But
it's more of an upside down.
Yeah. And I don't get... First of all, I don't know anything about music. I think it was Mike Moranz with Back in Black said, yeah, they do drop D tuning, which means that big fat string at the top is tuned to D. The rest of the guitar is the normal notes. And I guess you get something special out of that. Well, I'm not retuning my guitar for one song, F the Stones. So somehow I figured out by combining two chords and pulling up on the strings, I got pretty close. I don't even know if it sounds right. I don't even know if it's the right key.
I think,
but nobody said anything.
I think ultimately all that really matters is if you're playing at some venue, let's say a bar, and it sounds like it's supposed to sound, no one's going to care.
Exactly.
Now,
because I've seen cover bands play all sorts of stuff, and I'll look at the guitar player just nitpicking. And he's never playing that right. But you know what? To everyone else, it sounds great. It's not make a difference.
Well, now I'm just rethinking everything. I wonder how many. Because I thought I was fooling everybody.
So now you're vexing people. They're asking you, how are you cheating on that?
Well, that was something else. I told a guy in email, I went, dude, if you're asking me for advice on playing a guitar, it's time to start back at the beginning. If you take one piece of advice from me, that just think about your computer getting a virus. It's going to freak up everything else that you know about playing a guitar.
You are not a virus.
Take advice from me. See what happens.
Maybe he was just curious. He just wanted to understand how it was you did it.
I don't know. Even though I figured it out, I just knew I'm not learning how to play a guitar where one of the strings is tuned to something else.
What you're learning is what you call a trick. It's a trick.
I wouldn't call it a trick.
It is.
Lazy, white trash. I don't want to learn scales. I don't want to learn to play right. I don't want to tune my guitar. I don't want to learn to read music. I don't really see. Yeah, if I can actually play anything, I guess it is a trick.
Damn.
They do make guitars now that... that will do that drop D thing. It's simply a switch. You could switch it on, switch it off.
Well, I've got the Gibson Robot guitar. I don't bring it up here because it's too expensive. But yeah, you could pull the knob that normally is one of just the volume knobs.
Okay.
Pull it out, switch it to drop D tuning, push the knob back in, and the guitar will tune itself. The nuts will move. They're motorized.
All right, then.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it had that setting. Oh, that's even cooler. Holy.
Yeah, and change it to any tuning that these idiots use. Yeah. Oh, we're going to do drop D and that'll confuse everybody. Nobody will ever be able to replicate our song. Really? Well, I learned how to play it upside down.
Start that up. So, Chloe, with the robot guitar thing, would that be considered cheating by a guitar purist?
No. Not really. I don't think so. Yeah, I think it's just cool if that even exists. So that way, you don't have to sit there and in the middle of a song tune it, down and hopefully just get it right.
Yeah, retuning your guitar isn't. Personally, I think it's cheating. Mm-hmm. You learn how to play a song in the notes at which they come.
Yeah, which you were given.
I'm trying to think if I even still remember.
But isn't that supposed to be how music is supposed to be? It's supposed to be open to interpretation.
Yeah.
That's what I like to think.
I would imagine.
Let's see. Is this tuned?
Yes.
Well, somebody say it. Somebody always does.
Doesn't matter.
Thank you. I forgot how I played this. Now, you get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
You could, you know what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, yeah, I know what it's supposed to be.
Dick. Now I'm embarrassed.
No, don't be.
I can still do this. But I've done that so much, I forgot the other chords.
Oh, man.
I love that part so much.
Where does it go? To B?
Follows it up.
Yeah. Like that?
Uh-huh.
That's
dead on. You thought I was playing it off record, didn't you?
That's right, man. I was looking around for the turntable.
And in some of the songs that we don't do in the band, I'll just try and learn something. I get bored with it when it gets to the solo. I'm like, all right, screw that. But something with an obvious signature that you know is just a couple of chords. And it's weird that a band could do like that is?
Yeah, Eric Clapton.
Cocaine.
And it's just two chords.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think it is.
The way you're playing it is?
Huh?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Eric Clapton, Mr. Slowhand, Mr. Awesome. Two chords.
Sounds like a weird setting on this guitar, though. The other weird one. Oh. This sounds like it's out of tune.
Sounded right there.
That's just like three chords. Deep Purple, another bunch of hacks.
So you only have respect for bands if they go beyond three chords?
AC/DC has used four.
Really?
I knew the path that you were on. So if they only play three chords, you don't like them?
Mm-hmm.
I know somebody said that. I've talked about this before. Somebody, this was years ago, somebody was interviewing the band AC/DC, and they said, you feel odd that you keep putting out all these albums? You put out 11 albums using three chords? Angus went, we put out 12 albums using three chords.
Thank you. And how many have sold?
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
Okay, wasted enough time for that.
Yeah, because real quick, Chloe, let's say Jack White from White Stripes. How many chords do you think he normally plays in one of his average songs?
Well, you know, he plays multiple weird chords just because he wants to be different, weird, funky, whatever.
Whereas the three that have made AC/DC's career have done them just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything wrong with Jack White. I'm just saying sometimes simple can be good.
No, absolutely. And he's done the three chord thing. Then he does like the seven chord augmented fifth raised seventh drop C tuning stuff.
Yeah, when I started looking at music online, if I'm trying to learn a song, I thought, hey, this may not be bad for the band. And I can read guitar tabs. That's paint by numbers for the most part. It just shows you this finger goes on this string on this fret.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Chuck, who reads music. You just put music in front of him.
Yeah.
And he can play it. Oh, well, that's a half note. That's a half step up. And it's always amazing to me that you could just put a piece of music in front of somebody that they haven't played before, and they know the rhythm just because of the notes and the cleft notes and those flag thingies with the whoosh.
It's all technical terms, of course.
Oh, yeah, it's all in this key, and certain notes have certain values, meaning the length.
Yeah, it's
another
language.
It's just a visual language. Alfie, what is line one?
He's calling to comment on your guitar playing.
Why?
Don't worry, it's not too terrible.
Well, I bet he can't wait to take it.
Yes, Adam.
Hey, boss man.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that you're actually ahead of the curve in terms of your guitar playing, because Keith Richards for Start Me Up actually removes the top E string for all of his tunes because of the tuning. It just got in the way, so he just removed that string completely.
So they don't even do drop D? They just cut it off?
Well, for that tuning especially, typically anybody that does drop tuning is going to have a different set of gauges on their strings anyway in specific guitars set up for those tunings. So if you're staying in E typically, you can find it. So you're actually ahead of the curve.
Well, thank you, boss.
You bet.
Okay. Well, hell, that's what I'm doing next. I'm cutting off strings. Because really, you think about it, look at all the different variables I've cut out of hitting the wrong note.
Yeah, you're saving yourself from yourself.
Yeah, the presidents of the United States, that band, they did that.
They did what?
I think their bass only had two strings.
What did he do? I'm like, he got penalized every time. All right, you blew a note. Lose a string.
But.
Dude, all I'm playing now is a stick. I feel like I'm in the Darling Band from the Andy Griffith Show. Why don't you just give me a jug?
It'd be pretty bad, though, if he got lopped down to one. I could play it open or closed. You'd let me know in what order you'd like it to happen.
All right, we're going to let you keep the four strings. But only one of them's own. Just so you're not embarrassed.
And if you screw that up, then we're going to give you one of these Kleenex guitars with the rubber band strings.
Or you want one of them guitars that all it has is just big buttons you push on it? The different colors?
From Guitar Hero?
No. Uh-huh.
See, if it was that, so many of us would be rock gods.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that about the presidents of the United States. Their bass player only had two strings.
Two strings, and I think...
What a cheap-ass band. Weren't they just a three-piece band?
Yes. And the guitar player, I think, he was missing either one or two strings on his guitar as well.
Was he missing fingers? I wonder if that's what they'd do after he screwed up so much. All right, we've already taken all your strings.
Hand over your pinky. You're not going to need that anymore.
I'm trying to...
That is jacked up.
I'm trying to pull up one of their songs. Well, of course, that's what I'm going to get. All right. What do you want to know about the members of the band? You want to know about Roosevelt, Washington, Nixon?
What about Jackson? How many strings he have?
Andrew?
Yeah.
I got to go back to Andrew Jackson. Let's see. What am I looking for?
Presidents of the United States band.
You want to know how many strings Andrew Jackson had on his bass?
You asked.
Okay. It's going to be another one of those questions that comes up when somebody's trying to explain this show to somebody else. Well, what do they talk about? Everything. I bet they never talked about one of the presidents playing bass guitar.
And only doing it with half the strings.
Stupid show. None of them play guitar. Well, Rutherford B. Hayes played a Fender. Sound like Truman was playing the kettle drum, but just once. Did you pull one up?
There weren't any in the library.
Oh, well.
I got some.
You got some in there?
Yeah.
How would you?
I just pulled the Clear Channel Library.
That's... Well, close to nothing was
in there. Oh, I thought it was the presidents of the United States was what the band was. Never mind. Sorry. My bad.
Okay.
Love sat alone in a boggy marsh, totally motionless except for her heart. Mud flowed up in
her
lungs.
There's no guitar yet.
Only a couple drums.
I can't wait for the bass.
She's love. She's love. She's in my...
Is that the bass there, or is that the guitar?
That's the bass, and I only count two, maybe three notes on the bass.
Well, damn, that'd have been a lot easier. Yeah. When we put together the RMS band, we should have just been a president's tribute band.
That's right.
But then again, how long is the set going to be after Lump and Peaches and...
And Kitty.
Yeah, Kitty.
Kitty, wasn't there a mock?
Maka. They may have did a Maka Go-Go.
No, that was the... That was... That was a Japanese version of Speed Racer.
Oh.
It's I think totally...
Gore. Gore did... Okay, that was Gore.
Yeah. Did they do Maka Go-Go?
No, this band's from Seattle.
The Presidents?
Yeah. Yeah, remember how we had Sir Mix-a-Lot on a few times?
Mm-hmm.
And he worked with them on either an album or some of their songs. He helped produce some of their stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how many albums they put out. I know I was here at the Eagle when we were playing it in the 90s. And it was hit after hit and then boom.
I don't know what it was, but every time I hear that band, I'm immediately taken back to, like, I think I'm 15 years old, 14 years old.
And they were big on just one-name songs. Lump, Kitty, Peaches. Really a simplistic band.
It worked, though, at least for, like...
Bass player, two strings.
For one whole year.
And I think most of their hits only came off of one album, and then they just vanished.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to look online and see what else they got. They were big about the same time as the Spin Doctors.
Yep.
And they only had two hits, I think Two Princes and Something That Spins. Or
there were a bunch of bands that were kind of like that. You had them. A bunch of them. Tripping Daisy was like that.
Yeah, I didn't like Tripping Daisy. I think the song I hated out of the most, and if you want to make this a conversation later, song I hated the most out of the 90s was that the Crash Head Dump, Crash Test Dummies.
Once.
And I know when that song came out, Stern loved it. He would play it. He wouldn't play the whole thing, but he'd play it on his show. He goes, I love this song. Two people I'd like to see in a crash test car is those dummies and Bobby McFerrin.
If I can throw one into the vehicle. Oh, no.
How does it start? Once.
Once. Where was this boy?
Once. There was this kid. Do you know the lyrics?
No.
And this doesn't really pick up either.
No.
No, it stays. This is as jamming as it gets.
Yeah, I'm sure this was really big at Confetti or one of the other dance clubs.
Monopoly.
Yeah.
Monopolies.
Let's go to Monopoly and dance to Crash Head Dummies or Crash Test.
It's amazing to me they never played the halftime at Super Bowl.
And I don't think I ever heard of them touring.
How?
Well, you have other stuff that you want to promote. Just
I guess,
because they had one hit doesn't mean they only recorded one song.
I know,
if they
but
were smart, they would have stopped with one song.
It would have been beneficial to us all.
Let's just put out an album with one song, stop here.
I think from the 90s, one of the songs I hated the most was, I'll catch some hell for this, but it was by Queensryche, Silent Lucidity.
Oh, God. Oh.
That song was a beating.
Oh. Oh.
Especially if.
God.
It's a beating if you're in the studio and you can't go anywhere.
Oh.
You're stuck. And that came out long before automation, to where if I need to walk out of the studio during a commercial break, I can.
Mm-hmm.
Because they fire off automatically. Or if one of the jocks in the studio says, oh, well, you know, it's a 20-minute music sweep. If I don't want to sit in here, I can just turn on the automation. It'll sag it for me. But if you've got to stay in there because you've got to be there to fire off the next one.
Right.
Then it's. And it was even worse when I was a few years into radio. When I worked in Terrell, we were playing LPs, 45s.
Woo.
So you had to stay in there, and I was playing country music. I had to stay in there in case the record skipped.
Right.
Or sometimes the left channel would drop. So I'd have to kick it with my right foot.
The good old days.
And I'd leave a note for the owner, who was also the program director, Ken Jones. Left channel keeps dropping on the left turntable. Kick it. Well, you know, my dad could have told me how to fix that.
Then why'd you call me?
If you want to make a list of songs that you hated out of the 90s, I put the Crash Test Dummies at the top of the list.
Oh, man.
You're right. Did you say Silent Lucidity?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how that was a number one hit.
On the rock charts, pop charts.
At least rock.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and all the other stuff that was they put out.
I don't know if it was on a pop chart, but dear God, I know it was number one.
And who were those retards that Gavin hired for one of the Live 105.3 events?
Living like, Color.
No.
Oh, then...
The three guys.
Oh, the Violent Femmes?
Yes.
Yeah, what was their song? Something Dried Up in the Sun?
Blister in the Sun.
Yeah. One hit. Weep. Yeah. We were doing the RMS band by then.
Mm-hmm.
We played. I forget where it was.
Was that Gilly's?
Place was, I don't think it was packed, but it was a good crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And we got off. So, all right, well, let's go watch them do their Raisin in the Sun or whatever. We walked out there. Man, I hope there's going to be a place to, yeah, there's plenty of places to stand. It looked like somebody had hit the fire alarm. Were you there, Chloe?
Yeah, I was there. Actually, I was kind of shocked. I thought that there would be more people there for Violent Femmes. Because they had the one hit, but they were one of those bands that had a pretty big following.
I think the key word in there was had.
Maybe they got lost.
Gone, daddy, gone.
And what do you do when you only have one hit? You know that's what everybody's waiting on.
I've wondered.
You
that
play
a
bunch of crap and then you know, close to the hit, or play the hit and then play a bunch of crap so people can go drink.
I think if it was me, I'd play it at least twice.
That's what I do with bits. If they're funny to me, I keep playing them over and over.
I think I might play one song they don't know, maybe two, then get them with the hit by number three. And then play a few more songs, and then finish up with the hit again.
Yeah. And you're probably worn out by then.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably at least 16, 17 minutes.
Just tuckered.
Alfie, do I want to take one of those? Because I got a break.
Line one.
Okay. Yes, Eric.
Hey, sorry I was messing with my glass eye. It's been bothering me the other day. Hey, I'm blind here, and I play guitar, too. Play some pretty heavy stuff from about 20 years. And Rusty does pretty good. I play by ear because I can't, you know, see the sheet music.
Yeah.
And I think Russ hit some good chords.
That's very kind of you. Were you born blind? You go blind in life?
No, actually, I'm Doug's brother. You married my brother on air back in the mid-90s, him and his wife, Stephanie.
Dan, you're nodding your head like you know who he is.
No,
I had a motorcycle accident like in 85.
You lost both eyes?
Yeah.
No helmet?
No, I had a helmet on. I just, matter of fact, it was a Lincoln. You were talking about a Lincoln earlier.
Man, you can't focus, can you?
Well, that was one of the side effects.
So you ran into a Lincoln?
No, Lincoln mowed me over when I was about 14, 15. It's not my favorite car.
All right, thanks, Eric.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
4:38, another check on traffic over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Community Coffee. Let's get started off. In Fort Worth, eastbound I-20, right at East Loop 820. Got an accident there blocking the center lane. Traffic's backed up back from Angland Drive. In Arlington, eastbound I-20, right at Collins Street. Got an accident blocking the two right lanes. Traffic's backed up back from Cooper. Let's move into Lewisville, southbound I-35, right at FM 407. Got a stalled vehicle blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up back from Garden Ridge. Into Garland now, southbound 635, right at La Prada. Got an accident blocking the two right lanes. That's almost Mesquite. Traffic there is backed up all the way back from around the High 5, about a half hour delay through it. And finally, in Mesquite, eastbound Highway 80, right at Galloway. Got a stalled vehicle there being cleared out. That one has traffic backed up. Back from 635. I'm Alfie Corey, and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Clear tonight and cold, a low of 23. Then tomorrow, sunny, a high of 46. Right now, it's 38. At 97.1, the Eagle.
Hi, it's me, Dan O'Malley, the president, CEO, head of HR, and the lead warehouse manager of PLD Incorporated. I'm here to introduce the latest innovative product from PLD. We've expanded our horizons to include the boss of all pleasure devices. I'm proud to bring you the Dagodo. That's right. Our team of researchers and scientists have spent hours, literally hours, working on the Dagodo. We've toiled to carefully sculpt a replica of Russ Martin's wee-wee. And you can believe me when I say I know exactly what Russ's man junk looks like. Imagine the pleasure you'll feel when you hear that magical wop-wop-wop sound of the Dagodo smacking the back of your ass. Plus, the Dagodo comes with PLD's patented self-lubrication system. That's right, you can enjoy the Dagodo and all its greasy, oily goodness. The Dagodo also comes with three different custom-made flavor packets, including olive oil, marinara, and garlic butter. Don't settle for the imitators. There's only one genuine Dagodo. Catch a ride on the original Italian Stallion. The Dagodo is specially made for the woman in your life with a petite naughty box. It's available in three sizes. Small, very small, and...
How do you like this bit now, Russ?
I never said yours was small.
Don't wait. Order today and you too can experience the delight of Russ's teeny tower of pizza.
From PLD Inc.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
The dando spots I cut for you, I made them huge.
You did, and that was...
Small, extra small, and how do you like the bit now, Russ?
Beers are also gross.
Not gross?
Yes, they are.
They're impressive. The Rodando?
Okay, that part's impressive, and it shoots fire or whatever, but what about the ones where you're talking about pounding my ass all night long?
I don't think I ever said that.
I
You pay respect, you call somebody pretty, you create... dildos based on their junk.
Which no one asked you to do.
And you give one like a 600-foot wingspan.
It's not even realistic.
It is.
You asked for it, and we did it. We already know you love the dando, the perfect pleasuring device for the novice. But many of you wanted to heat things up in the bedroom and really bust a nut to a monster-sized dildo. We've now added wings with a span of over 600 feet. Attach three large horns to its head, put serrated spikes on the shaft, and it shoots a uranium heat beam from its pee hole. Pretty Little Dan Inc. is proud to present the Rodando. The Rodando, a prehistoric pleasuring device ready to satisfy bunghole aficionados. Two 12-volt interstate car batteries are included, so you can start scorching your asshole right out of the box. Another fine product of Pretty Little Dan Inc.
That's damned impressive.
It is. I never asked you to turn me into a sex toy to be shoved in people's butts.
War 42.
Oh, soundbite.
Yeah. Mm.
That's not fair, Chloe.
Then even paid tribute to your junk with the, what was it? Oh, the Dando LE for law enforcement.
Yeah.
You gotta go and call me greasy and whoppy and wop 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 noise.
You started it.
New from PLD Inc. Another fine dando product. As with all dandos, they're formed from Dan's fabulous pee-pee. And now, introducing the Dando LE. specifically designed for law enforcement. The Dando LE comes with a pistol grip and will deploy the special penis-shaped missile straight into the perp's hiney. With a special anal-seeking sensor, it's a sure shot every time. Once it's penetrated its target, the Dando LE will extend 6 titanium spikes into the rectum, ensuring a solid grip. The Dando LE will then deliver 722,000 volts in their pocket. With a Dando LE's neuromuscular incapacitation, Grunt will fly out of that bunghole like a busted fire hydrant. Putting your life on the line every day doesn't mean you can't have fun. Put on your shield and go cook some criminal assholes, you f***ing hero. Another proud product of PLD.
Another tribute.
That one.
What
about...
do I get? Oh, little weenie. Wop, wop, wop. Even made a bionic Dando. You didn't appreciate that.
I never asked for any of this stuff. And they started out.
You don't ask
so
for
flattering.
It because people like you don't expect accolades.
And I don't want these type of accolades. And I don't want to be sexualized to this extreme.
I don't believe I used any ethnic slurs with any of your Dando products. What do you think I did? Got to come after me. Oh, the Dago do. Wop, wop, little bitty.
It was just a culmination of all the ones that you had done on me.
All mine were.
What?
Nice.
No, they weren't. They're disgusting.
We made one of your Dandos as big as a station wagon. What we called the Sedando.
And then what with it?
I don't know. Drive it.
And then it drove up somebody's ass. It had to be gross.
I don't think anybody. No, I didn't say anything about driving a car up somebody's ass.
Well, then whatever it did. Just a family hauler?
I think plenty of people would love to have the products like this. The Medusa one?
Yeah, that was part of the it's a combination of the Rodando spot. Mm-hmm. The pretty little Dan Medusa they something. Okay, I think that one went in your ass. I'm sorry.
See?
This little weenie, Dago, spaghetti bender. Gonna do a Dando spot with this. At Pretty Little Dan Inc., we've taken the line of pleasure products now to a galactic level.
I like
years
this
in the making. This new Dando was developed in a galaxy far. I even get goosebumps when I get to the part of PLD Inc. proudly presents. See? Goosebumps there.
I've gone on the record every single time you've played this one that I like this one.
So why do you make a spot for a Dago dough?
That was for the other ones.
Far away. This new phallic device formed by Dan's own Junkatelia is powered by an omnipresent energy, so no batteries are needed. PLD Inc. presents the Dando Calrissian. It's perfect for ramming into your favorite Boba Fett or Jabba the Butt. It comes with a stealth mode in case you want to be a Phantom Menace. Almost so powerful it could destroy your partner's Death Starfish. The Dando Calrissian is oh so pleasurable when shoved into their Wedge Antilles. Beautifully designed, it's adorned up and down the shaft with Yodas and shit. And why would you need a Dando Calrissian?
You never know when friends might show up.
Another fine product from PLD Inc.
That one I enjoy.
I'm surprised you haven't done one with the Luke Bryan. Since you've got your Luke Bryan shopping network.
Well, it's a fledgling network. New products coming online all the time.
Nobody's pitched you a bunch of products to slap your name on there, Luke?
Not yet, at least.
Luke?
Hi, I'm Luke Bryan. Not yet. I'm thinking of starting up my own show kind of like a Shark Tank, but instead it'll be called Luke Tank. And if I have all my wishes, I will start each show on an actual tank.
All right, so I come on your show, I pitch you an idea, and if you don't like it and I don't get any money, what do I get?
I shoot you with the tank. But
and then whatever's left,
I hug.
Okay.
See, it's dramatic. The only downside
that
is
be a good, A good GD pitch.
That's right. I hold people to the highest possible standards. Legal said, though, I'm not allowed to drive the tank. I'm only allowed to shoot people. You drive one truck into your stock pond, and they don't let you drive anything no more.
I saw that. Somebody sent me the link that he had driven his truck into his catfish pond.
Yeah.
Or tank, whatever.
Yeah, I sure did. I left that bitch in drive.
He was... there wasn't video. There was just still shot. He was on Ellen.
Yeah.
Talking about it. Somebody sent me the link. Look, Luke Ryan. Luke Ryan?
Luke Bryan.
Bryan. So, no offense.
Mm. None taken.
Drove his truck in the tank.
Yeah, see, I got this stock pond. I was feeding the fish, and I decided I need to get out of the truck. So I get out of the truck, and I'm feeding the fish, and then I look to my right, and I see, hey, that's my truck. It's driving itself. At first, I thought it was an angel, and then I realized, no, it's not, because I left it in drive, and it drove itself right into my pond.
Well, now you know how I feel, Luke. So.
Yeah, me and Chloe have lots in common.
So, you immediately notice when you jumped out that the truck was going?
No, I mean, I saw it was moving, but I just assumed it was God. Or perhaps it was a Google truck.
One of those, what do you call it, autonomous?
Autonomous, yes.
One of the things that drives itself?
Mm-hmm. How do I know? I was out of the truck for like 30 seconds. Google could have installed anything in there.
Google has taken over my truck. Hey, look, my truck's going forward. Normally, I am in it when that happens.
I had an out-of-truck experience.
He said in the interview that it was totaled.
It was, yeah. The whole front end, the engine, everything was also
well, Close driven his car into the lake, and it wasn't totaled.
Well,
you had to have the engine replaced, didn't you?
One time. The second time, no. Because I turned it off the second time.
I think though, like in Chloe's case, the insurance would have totaled it. They just didn't bother.
I'm sure Chloe didn't tell him about it.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly. Luke Bryan's got plenty of cash. I'm sure he called the insurance and said, say, funny thing.
Satan took over my ship. I think it was a Chevy.
Yeah. Satan drove my Chevy into my pond. Is that covered?
Well...
catfish pond?
Does it matter?
I just need to know yes or no.
Yes.
It's covered.
Oh, thank God. Oh, well, what would have happened if it was just a lake?
We only cover catfish ponds.
Oh, well.
That's how I knew it was covered.
All right, well, good.
Because you said when you bought the truck that you was going to go noodling with it.
Yeah, that's
gonna
right.
Drive it into catfish's mouth.
Yeah, I couldn't get one. I got mad. Take this.
That happened to me one time with the Batmobile. Had to be the Batmobile.
What happened?
I told you this. It was...
refresh me.
When I lived in Plano, I'd gone driving around, came home, and Mark, the builder, Mark Cole, hadn't installed a safety switch to where the car couldn't start. It would have to be parked to start. That safety feature wasn't installed.
Mm.
Got home, turned the key off, but I left it in drive. And obviously, nothing happened. I get up the next morning, and I got to go for a cruise in the Batmobile.
Oh.
I reach in, and because it's a carbureted engine, you know how they always rev up when you start them?
Mm-hmm.
Idle high?
Yeah.
I reach in, just lean in, grab the key, turn it on. It goes, and then it takes off.
Oh, no.
And that's why I said, huh, normally I'm in the car when it does that. I think it did about $1,000 worth of damage. Jeez. And it didn't get going that fast because it was only, what was that, about 3 feet, 4 feet?
Yeah.
Away from the wall.
Oof.
I was able to reach in and throw it into park about the time that it hit the wall. And it was even worse because instead of just hitting drywall, which probably would have absorbed a lot of it.
Right.
You know, replacing sheetrock. That's not a big deal. It was those great big thick wooden shelves that people have in their garages now. So when I sold the house, instead of fixing it, I just tore the shelves down.
Oh.
That's just one of those moments of, man, you better think about something and you better do it pretty quick. But it's always so odd to see your car driving without you in it. So you have to get past that moment. And then you realize something untoward is about to occur unless I reach in and do something. Yeah. And, of course, like an idiot, while I'm reaching and doing it, I'm screaming at it, stop.
Yeah, it's the one time your car is going to hear you. Oh, he said stop. Okay.
I don't know why we think talking to equipment when it's malfunctioning, whatever, you're screaming at, stop it! Okay, that only works with chicks. So, obviously, I had a safety feature put in.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, any car I check, I make sure it's in park. Because you go from 60s, 70s cars to a new one. Everything you adjust, you have to adjust mentally every time, like I get into the General Lee. High beam, it's on the floor, to the left of the brake.
Mm-hmm.
Batmobile, that's just got switches. You better make sure they're off.
Yeah, the Batmobile, you're like a commercial pilot. You got to do a walk around.
Yeah.
Started it once and left a burn mark on the garage door from the flame.
Yeah, shooting out the back.
Mm-hmm. Like, damn, maybe he don't deserve to be a superhero. He can't even drive his damn car, almost burned his house down.
Maybe that's why he kept it in the cave.
Yeah, how much damage could you do?
That's right. We'll keep it in this wet environment with the door open.
Now the roof leaks because I accidentally set off the rocket launcher. Okay. How much time do we have, Chloe?
Need a break.
How about we at least do birthdays?
All right.
4:56, Dan O'Malley's here with news.
Thank you, Russ. Today is Thursday, November 13, 2014. Birthdays today. Porn star Kristen Price turns 33. She has starred in 196 films, including The Bangover and Saturday Night Beaver. Noah Hathaway turns 43. He's an actor, probably best known as Atreyu in The NeverEnding Story. Actor Gerard Butler is 45 from the movie 300 and Olympus Has Fallen, along with a slew of others.
Actually, I like Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, he was the main guy in that one.
Special effects, a little iffy.
Eh.
Not Sharknado iffy, but...
Have you seen its sort of cousin movie? Came out around the same time, White House Down?
No.
That one starred Jamie Foxx as the president and Channing Tatum as the hero.
The chick?
No.
Oh, I'm thinking of Tatum O'Neal.
Yeah, that's
I'm not
that's
trying
totally,
to be, no. Okay.
Yeah, no, Channing Tatum.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know if you've seen anything he's been in. Or were you what was the movie he was really famous, Step Up? Was he in that?
He was in Magic Mike. I think that's what you're thinking of.
Oh. No.
Okay. Other actor, Steve Zahn is 47, has been in Sahara, That Thing You Do, and Saving Silverman. Jimmy Kimmel.
Hang on, who was that?
Steve Zahn. Okay, let me see if there's one of these that you've seen.
I think he was the lead singer in That Thing You Do?
Who's seen that movie? I've only seen snippets of it.
Oh, I think I bought it on Laserdisc and DVD.
Did you ever see Sahara with Matthew McConaughey?
No.
Saving Silverman? He's the one that got attacked by the wild raccoon?
No.
Do you watch Modern Family? He's the new neighbor?
No. My guess is I don't know who he is.
He was the lead singer in That Thing You Do.
Okay, yeah. So that guy.
Okay. Yeah, the one that was a dick to everybody.
Yes.
Okay.
Neil Flynn is the dad on The Middle, also the janitor on Scrubs. He's 54. Whoopi Goldberg is 59. Chris Noth is 60. Tracy Scoggins is 61. Joe Mantegna is 67, and Gary Marshall, brother of Penny Marshall and director on his own, right, turns 80.
I think he was a director before he was.
I know he was.
Her sister.
Her sister.
Or his sister. Whoever.
Man, this is not a good day for him.
Mm-mm-mm.
The Texas Department of Public Safety is urging Texans to prepare for possible winter weather in the upcoming months.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
505. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Russ Eagle traffic brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, starting off in Dallas. Flash an accident westbound Northwest Highway right at Webb Chapel. Got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic's backed up back to Midway. In Garland, southbound 635 right at La Prada. Got an accident there in the clearing stage. This traffic is jacked up all the way back to Greenville Avenue. Moving into Grapevine, westbound 635 just before 121. Got an accident blocking the left lane. Your backup is back from Beltline Road. In Arlington, eastbound I-20 right at Collins Street. Got an accident blocking the two right lanes. Traffic's backed up back to Cooper. And finally, in Fort Worth, eastbound I-20 right at East Loop 820, got an accident blocking the center lane. Traffic's backed up back from Campus Drive. Listen to Skull tomorrow morning at 7:25 for a shot to win a pair of tickets to go see the Black Keys of the AAC on November 17th. Details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
The Eagle weather brought to you by Rules of Engagement on TXA21. Tonight, clear skies and cold, a low of 23. Tomorrow, sunny, 46 for the high. And right now, it's 38 and 97.1 The Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show rocks the Metroplex. The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
Better?
Well, I tripped over the ottoman when I ran into the studio.
Which is something so many radio hosts have said. Dick Van Dyke.
I was going in. I knew after you did weather, I had to fire off that 10-second commercial and then the bumper was going to start. So I knew I had about 20 seconds to run in my studio, get a Diet DP out of the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Go in there, trip over the ottoman, fall into the fridge, get it open. I hear the bumper start.
Okay.
First of all, Alfie's already laughing at me. And I'm like, oh, hell, I got to go. My favorite show's home.
I'm surprised you didn't sit in there and just think, what are they going to talk about next?
Man, that's an effed up show. How they keep their jobs.
It's a question we ask ourselves almost daily.
No, people actually ask me in the hall. Oh, hell. I don't think I ever did this yesterday, so let me find it for you today.
Would you rather do news, or I got a couple of emails as well?
Okay, go ahead. I was going to play your Chuck Morgan intro, and I can't find it.
All right, so emails it is. Russ, hey, man, I don't mean to be intrusive or anything, but are you into water sports or some other weird pee fetish? You seem like you've been real obsessed with making female listeners pee lately. It's fine to think it's funny, but you keep asking them to hold the phone down there. It's kind of weird, man. Jonathan.
I don't think it's a fetish. Just to know, I don't see how you would get off knowing that a chick is tinkling someplace. Because I'm sure it's going on right now. And I'm not getting aroused.
Good.
I've never had a chick call and say, peed in my car. But I didn't tell her to do it.
You kind of did. Is it yesterday?
I think Luke Bryan is the one that said, put it down there so I could hear.
Yeah, I think it was Luke Bryan.
Technically, Luke Bryan said it. But that was at the behest of Russ.
Nobody told that chick to call the first go-round.
No.
You guys got to stop talking about whatever you're talking about. I'm going to pee in my car. I need to go to the bathroom before I left work. All right. Well, next time, let's think this through. You know it's rush hour. You know you're going to sit still in traffic. But you got to pee. It's not like your body understands, oh, well, we're in the car. I can't pee now.
Right. I like to think of this, that question. You know those flow charts? Well, like, here's the question in the middle, and then do you
should you pee before you leave? Yes, takes you one way. No, takes you another.
Right.
Really, the question is, should you pee before you leave? The next question should be, are you female? Yes, then go pee. Done.
Well, if you got to pee before you go anywhere and you know you're gonna get in your car and sit there, the answer, that should be the big question. Should I pee before I leave work? One arrow down. Yes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is the Russ Martin show on? Hell yes.
Well, that doesn't mean that I'm going to make you pee.
If you tell us about it, then
yeah,
then that'll be our sole effort.
I think I'm going to call in.
I got to call in and tell him to stop. Okay. I'm going to cut you a little slack because you've never dated me. But once it's happened, first of all, you're the one that left it on the station. You can listen to something else that's not going to make you giggle. But certainly don't call back and tell me we succeeded, because now I got this ego thing going on. Let me take this before we do traffic. Hello, Tara.
I'm not very happy with you right now, boss man.
Did you pee in your car?
I did.
Yes. Stay thirsty, my friends.
6:31, another check on traffic over the MyPlates.com.
And then Alfie loses it over the stupidest line in there. Stay thirsty, my friends.
Okay, hold on.
I'm sure that Tara Chick is just overjoyed that she is now a celebrity. I bet she went back to work the next day. Did you listen to Russ Martin's show? I don't want it pissed in my car.
All right, I'm a little fascinated. I'm curious about that. Did she tell everyone, or did she immediately just go, not me? No.
She doesn't sound like somebody that would really be embarrassed about.
Clearly not. She called in to tell us.
Well, initially she called in to tell me she wasn't happy with me.
Yeah, but she, yeah, no.
And then she got coy. Did you pee in your car?
I did.
Dan's compassionate laugh in the background. Let me take this before we do traffic. Hello, Tara.
I'm not very happy with you right now, boss man.
Did you pee in your car?
I did.
Yes. Stay thirsty, my friends.
6:31, another check on...
Alfie, if she ever calls again, just on the call screen thing, just we'll start calling her P-Car Tara.
You got it.
Got to make sure we differentiate.
Yeah, because there are so many Taras. There's Taras. Used to be with Paws in the City. Dan's wife's name is Tara. I need to know if P-Card Tara calls.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope we can get a chick to take a dump in her car, because that's a new nickname I want to slap on somebody.
What, like Dump Car Susan?
No, I was thinking something a little more bleepish.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's fair. All right, then.
Hopefully a chick whose first name starts with an S.
Yeah, like Shauna.
Yeah. Is this car Shauna?
You know what? Even if their name's not Shauna, that's just what you're going to get, the whole new name.
Yeah.
I love alliteration.
Henceforth be known as.
Yeah. Today, going home, if any one of you chicks takes a car, make sure your first name starts with an S. Oh, no, I'm not into water sports. Was that the question?
Yes, you are.
Why would you think that?
Years of experience. Years of you talking about pee and other things going on, even though you say that it grosses you out.
It does.
I know, but yet you still always knew where exactly to go to find nasty scat porn to put it on show members' computers.
I won't. It's not like I had memorized a URL. I'd have to go on Google and find something. And it's even harder on all the computers up here, because engineering's got everything set to moderate search or safe search, whatever.
Yeah, you got to dig to get this scat up here. Thank God.
You know how hard it is to find, what did I find one time? Hasidic midgets doing anal sex?
That was pretty impressive. I
wanted midgets, but I wanted some really hairy ones.
Yeah.
So, but that's what Dan is saying. not only did you find it, you found it quickly and put it on the desktop.
Well, I had to do it quickly because I knew if one of you guys got up from your computer, you're probably just going to piss. I got maybe 60 seconds at the most. So I just type in the nastiest thing I can think of into a search engine and hope for the best.
But the crazy thing about that is you would be able to actually look at the photo long enough to right-click, save as, and all that.
It didn't take that long. You find the photos, right-click, save as, desktop, or yeah, but, whatever it's called.
But some of those photos that you found, especially the ones at CBS because the internet was more lax, it was some sick stuff.
That's why I did it.
I know, but I couldn't even look at it.
What'd you think I was going to go get some type of mountain scenic view? Oh, I bet this will offend Dan.
No. What I mean is I don't even know how you could look at it for a brief moment without vomiting.
You just have to take yourself out of the moment and go, all right, this is going to do more damage. I can suffer through this. Why is it most midgets are into doggy style? I notice that a lot when I would pull up midget porn for your computers.
Is that so? Mm-hmm. That's when you notice it?
Yeah.
I thought you only did it like a quick search and then would put it on there real fast.
Well, it depends on what I was. I tried not to put the same thing on every time. I didn't want to be redundant.
Oh, well, okay.
But most of the pictures of midgets, it was doggy.
You know better than I would. I have no idea. I've never sought it out even as a prank.
Okay. Well, no offense to the midgets if you do missionary or other things. I've just seen.
I think they'll just be offended by being called midgets.
You're going to have to get over that. I don't know if that's one that's ever going to just vanish. The term. I don't mind. If I know them, I'll call them by their name. But if they're out running around, I'm pointing at them. I'm going to say, "Look at the midget."
No, you shouldn't do. You shouldn't do any of that that you just said.
But it's not. Nobody's going to look if you say, "Oh, look, a little person."
Yes, they would.
All right. The one day out in the lobby, I went to piss right before the show. I come running back in here, and I went, "There's a midget at the front desk getting prizes for something." Go. I forgot what he was wearing. Cowboy, whatever it was odd. Everybody got up and ran out and looked. Had I just said, there's a little person collecting a prize at the front desk.
We all would have dashed.
No.
I don't care for your example.
There was one day. This got nothing to do with midgets. The way our lobby is designed, it looks like when you go to the DMV.
Mm-hmm.
Glass between you and the receptionist and that little hole to pass things back and forth. I walked by one day and they were busy as F. I don't know. It was probably the last day to pick up tickets for something. Yeah. So everybody was out there and they had like 5-6 people in the receptionist area having to help all these listeners. I walked out, I stuck my head in one of the holes and went, "What's a window for license plates?" Oh, no. And nobody laughed.
Can I get 2 tickets for the cinema?
Yeah. Can I get 2 for the matinee?
I must renew my license. Oh, F me. All right. 5:17, Dan O'Malley has more news.
Thank you, Russ.
Hang on. Was that it with the emails?
No, I had a couple more.
No, water sport. No, no. I had a chick tinkle on me once in the shower, and I didn't dig it. I didn't know what she was doing. She goes, we're taking a shower, and we're kind of rubbing up against each other. She goes, guess what I'm doing now? I don't know. I'm pissing on you. Even in the shower, I didn't like it. It's one of our sales guys, one of the other stations I worked at. He met this chick that was in water sports.
Ugh.
She called him. "Hey, you coming over? We're going to have sex." "Yeah. Drink a bunch of water."
Ew.
"Get a big gulp."
Yeah.
She always made sure as he was driving over that his bladder was full.
That's so
bad. I don't get when it is that you get bored with just sex. Because sex That's pretty okay by me.
it's tops.
And when do you discover that that's something of interest and you go forth with it? You know what? It just comes into your head.
This is one of those things.
First of all, how do you find a chick like that? Chicks that scream at you if you're jiggling the handle while they're tinkling in the toilet, and all of a sudden now they want to do it to you in bed. Stop by and get a big gulp.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I dodged that bullet as far as cause I never had that experience. Think I've never had a chick say, "Hey,
I had to swallow the Dr. Pepper."
I don't even need to finish this sentence.
I thought you were going to, first of all, I thought you were going to go Luke Bryan on me.
Who knows what I was going to do?
Go ahead, finish it now.
I've never had a chick say, "Hey, pee on me," or vice versa. Yeah, got it. Chloe has. So mm-hmm. I feel blessed that I haven't had that experience. On the other hand, I feel like somewhere in my life, there had to be at least one chick that wanted it.
Just never could.
That I just, I somehow was able to bypass that phase, or she didn't know yet.
Chloe, how did the chick bring it up in conversation?
I was going to the restroom. So I'm going to go to the restroom. And then she...
Hey, don't waste that.
She just followed me in, and she was kind of shy and coy, and she's like,
"Did you know her?"
Yes. Oh, yes. I knew her. Sorry, I dated this chick.
Okay.
We were dating for about at least a year, right out of high school, and she was like, "Hey,
did she say, can I come watch?"
No, she just followed me in, and that's when she said, "Hey,
on me."
Yeah.
I know chicks that have a fascination about wanting to hold it and aim it when we're going. But I don't know what that is. I guess they just want to see what it's like to be able to control where your tinkle goes, as opposed to just sitting on a commode and it coming out like a water wiggle.
Yeah, never do that when a chick is drunk. They get too crazy.
Yeah.
Let her hold? Yeah. I wouldn't trust that. I like to be in control. I'd be afraid she's going to use it against me.
Yeah, get cute.
And point it straight back at me.
Well, luckily, mine's not big enough to do that. So, ha-ha. Look who the joke's on now. Miss Piss Hands. What were the other emails?
Russ, I have a bad...
Well, what a listener asked me if I'm into water sports.
People ask weird questions all the time.
I bring it up because I know it's disgusting. And I didn't tell that chick to call up and... After she peed in her car, she was just giggling. "I'm going to pee in my car." Well, what's the first thing you do as a guy?
Try to get her to tinkle.
Yeah, if you're tickling a girl and she's going, "Oh, I'm going to pee." Well, that means...
Tickle more.
Yeah, don't stop.
Yeah, it's like if you're saying, "I'm going to pee," and you're just like, if you're making her feel that way just because you're hitting that spot between her hip and her thigh, and then she says, "I'm about to pee." Then you go to counting ribs. Because that'll send her right over the top.
"Are you sure? Are you sure you're going to pee?" A one.
One. A two.
"You lied to me."
"I hate this game."
"You said you were going to pee." Alfie, what do you got?
Guy on line one has a question for you.
Oh, boy.
Does he know to keep it moderately clean?
Yeah. I told him no curse words.
All right. Yes, Mark.
Yes. I was calling to ask you, have you ever had a girl squirt on you?
No. That would wig me out.
It's, you know, then maybe you're not doing the job right.
I've always said I don't do it right. I take absolutely no pride in bed.
I'm telling you right now, if you're doing it right when you're down there, if once you get them...
How much do you, obviously you've seen this happen before.
I haven't had it happen for a long, long time, but I've had it when I was in my younger days.
How much would come out?
It was almost like, kind of like a blast of pee, but it wasn't pee.
It was
an alarming amount.
It's just, you have to understand what squirting is.
I've seen the videos. I don't enjoy them because they can say whatever it is. I just assume it's tinkle. Yeah. I can't think of really any fetish that I'm into. I had a piece of baby corn in my butt once, and that was about it.
If you're going to have one.
She wanted to try it. She goes, well, what about my finger? I went, no fingers. And we had had Chinese delivery, so we had some baby corn.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, what about this baby corn? Well, let me see it. Yeah, okay. I can get that one out.
I think you'd be better off with the finger.
No. I don't care how much lube or what's going on. Look how much lube Fetner uses.
Ugh.
And the noises we make when he gives us prostate. Look. Yeah, you haven't been there yet, Dan.
No, but I've seen his ET fingers.
And he uses a lot of lube. God. Somebody say something.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Damn, that hurts. Luckily, it's quick. And I know people think that we're overselling it. Dan, you got no point of view on this one. You have no empathy because you've never had it done.
I don't want it.
You're gonna have to.
At some point you have to have a colonoscopy, but I don't see you running to the doctor.
Why would I want to run someplace? First of all, it just doesn't sound alluring. Hey, come on in. Let us shove a beta cam up your ho-ho.
Well, you've already had baby corn. What's a little camera?
Baby corn's about that big.
Well,
I don't know how big the cameras are. In my mind, it's about the size of what a news team carries. And with my luck, they're going to run out of tape halfway through it. All right, how do we pop that cartridge open?
Cut open his belly.
Got to reach in and replace it.
Got to what?
Reach in.
Oh, I thought he said something
else. Yeah. That was, yeah.
No fetish. You consider menage a trois a fetish?
I don't think that's a fetish unless you're just obsessed with it.
It's not really natural. I mean, couples are supposed to be couples, so I would think anything outside the norm is a fetish.
Yeah.
I love three ways. I'm tired of eating this one. I'm going to eat this one for a while.
This one's gone bland.
Yeah. Buffet. Yeah. Just back and forth. Which one am I going to eat right now? Okay. I'll do this. I wonder if while my girlfriend's not paying attention, if I can slip it into this other chick.
She's going to notice.
Well, the chick could notice.
I think your girlfriend would notice. It'd just be some sort of disturbance.
Well, you know, the lights are off. You have candles, whatever.
Just,
sometimes the girls are kissing. You think, well, I'll get behind this other chick. Because the rules were I couldn't.
Yeah.
I could. But no.
I understand all of that.
But just one time, I would have liked to. Yeah. You whisper in the chick's ear. Hey, don't tell her I'm back. Don't moan. Don't say anything. Act like nothing's going on. And in the meantime, I'm in the background going,
I'm like, ew. Oh, God. You have a terrible O face.
That's not really the face I make.
I hope not.
I have no idea what it is. Not like I look in the mirror when I'm blowing a wad. Certainly don't have a mirror over my bed. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Have mirrors in the room and see myself naked. Oh, really want to see what's going on. I'll take a look at the footage later.
Damn.
What?
You know.
I don't really know.
Well, technically you don't. Because
well, most of them knew there were cameras in there.
Hey, you're right, most.
Hey, nobody ever asked, is there a security cam inside that alarm clock?
It is your house.
And why do you keep moving closer to the clock?
I know what time it is. We have to put it right in front of my face.
Well, sometimes my weenie wants to know what time it is. All right, we're late. We'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
Message. I'll get back to you. 5:39. Another check on traffic. over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by ExxonMobil. Whole lot going on. Here's the worst of it. Starting off in Dallas. Southbound Loop 12, Walton Walker, just before Jefferson Davis, got an accident there blocking the two right lanes. Traffic there is backed up all the way back from I-35. Also in Dallas, eastbound 635. Right at Preston Road, got a stalled out 18-wheeler blocking the center lane. Traffic there is backed up back from I-35 as well. Let's move into Richardson, northbound 75, just before Spring Valley. Everybody likes Richardson. We'll get there in a minute. I started off in South Dallas. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, I know. Let's go to...
Fall off the...
It's like, all right, now I got to know what you... Now I know how the listeners feel. Hold on. What are you saying to him?
I was telling him why he was focusing on North Dallas, not South Dallas traffic. And then I told him if he didn't get more South Dallas reports, then he's going to send Councilman Dwayne Carraway after him. And then if he still didn't do enough, Dwayne Carraway is going to grab Mayor Price from Fort Worth off her bike.
Okay. Go ahead, Alfie.
That was all bad.
Where were we? In Richardson. Northbound 75, just before Spring Valley. Got an accident blocking the HOV and the two left lanes. Traffic there is backed up back from Northwest Highway. In Grapevine, westbound 635, just before 121. Got an accident blocking the left lane there. Traffic's backed up back from MacArthur. Finally in Fort Worth. Eastbound I-20, right at East Loop 820. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up back from 35W. Caller number 9 wins a pair of tickets to go see Nickelback at the JEXA on April 4th. Call now. It's 214 or 817-787-1971. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Clear skies tonight and cold, of course, a low of 23. Tomorrow, sunny, 46 for the high. Right now, it's 38 at 97.1 the Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
What'd you do? Play that bumper? Just have me go back and rethink, am I playing it wrong on the guitar?
No, I didn't. Not at all. I just forgot what it really sounded like.
Okay, that's rude.
No, I didn't mean it.
Wow.
I think this is some special remix on that
bumper.
No,
it's not.
Jesus, Cole.
Not? That's the original version?
You know, his ego's fragile when it comes to his guitar playing.
Well, I thought it was some new poppy remix.
No, that's the Stones. Start me up.
Okay.
Why would you think it's a different version?
Because it sounds too poppy. It doesn't sound like the original to me.
See if you can find Start Me Up in the Clear Channel Library. Alfie, I'm not talking to that chick on line one.
All right, I'll get rid of her.
I see what she wants. I squirt. Most guys love it. You squirt in my bed. Two things are going to happen. Actually, three. You can clean it up. You're going to do my laundry, and you're going to leave.
What if she can't help it?
First of all, you can help it, especially if you're having sex with me.
It might be.
It's supposed to be. I don't even like saying the word. It's not tinkle. It's the female version of our stuff.
Sure, okay.
I don't even think that's natural.
I've seen a percentage before in a news story that it's the minority of females that are capable.
And what purpose does that serve? We know what our stuff serves. That's to inject the baby fluid.
Yeah.
And if theirs is considered the same thing, I'll say it one time. Ejaculate.
So unsexy.
What's that for? I understand, you know, getting hot and wet. That's so, you know, don't hurt you as much when I'm jamming you. But that extra stuff.
Oh.
Damn it! Looks like I ran over a fire hydrant.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like if you keep doing that, a news crew's going to show up.
Man, you ain't going to believe this.
Mm.
I was banging this chick.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, looked like something out of Jellystone Park. Okay, that's a cartoon. Out of Yellowstone Park. And that's where my education came from. Cartoons. Jellystone. Did you find it?
Yes.
Yeah. The other one may be a karaoke version.
Yeah.
You have to listen to this. I don't think I'm playing it right.
Well, this version here sounds more like your version than the other poppy version.
The other one, what did I just tell him?
It's karaoke version.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll pull karaoke versions for bumpers so I don't have to try and cut out the vocals. All right. Well, now I got to find out.
Okay.
Can you start this on your own if I pick up my guitar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't start it yet. Okay. You got to reload it?
Yes.
Okay. Give me a second. What key is this supposed to be in? You got any clue?
I'm thinking A.
I'm sorry, I don't know that one. I know A, I know A minor, I know A sharp. I don't know A.
That one's new to me, too. I haven't heard of it.
I think it's in the key of A.
Okay. Give me a second. All right. Fire it. I can't tell. I can't mix all this stuff at once. Dan doesn't care. He's looking at his monitor going, man, I sure wish I worked for Bo and Jim.
I am not. I'm listening.
How about that?
There you go.
That close?
Yeah. How come is that song not in our set? In the band?
Gavin used to do it, and then we left CBS, he became a dick.
Oh.
No, he didn't.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we used to like him.
So that sounds close.
Yeah, that sounds really close. Especially since, when's the last time you played the guitar along with the song?
Never.
Okay, then it was damn good. I think we should put it back in and have someone sing it.
I'm not really getting the justification. It was the last time you played with that song. Never. We should add it.
I'm saying you did it on the fly, trying to adjust the levels and all that stuff, and you're still really, really, really close.
I think close justification for adding a song to the band is because you can play it.
And because we won't be following the Rolling Stones.
That also helps.
So nobody can tell.
Like, that's a good strum action on there, too. You're rocking it, boss. You're rocking it.
What does that mean?
That means I didn't know that you could do that little strum as good as you were doing it.
Which strum?
The first one. The
up?
Yeah.
That's where I'm playing it backwards.
I think that's the way Richards does it.
The neither one that cut off is E string?
Yeah.
Let's not focus on that.
Now, what the guy said earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah, he can't play, so he cut off his E string. I think I'm going that route.
Why mess myself up with six strings when I can do with five?
I think it is good. I think it sounds really good. Yeah.
All right. I'll stop there. Any requests? What about you there, Luke?
Man, that song sounds sad.
I hope that's not about trains.
That's a sad song. I'll shoot a train.
Put this down.
Don't trip. Damn sad song.
Shoot a train.
I don't sing sad songs.
Sad songs make me shoot trains.
Yeah.
They do.
Sad songs say so much. Okay. Give away the tickets?
Yes, I did.
Good to go.
Good to go.
Okay. No more calls about squirters.
You got it.
Just congratulate them.
I squirt. All my men love it.
But they wouldn't love it all the time, especially if they're worried about...
I'm just wondering where you do it. If you know she's a squirter, if you always have to do it like on linoleum or... Certainly not going to do it in a bed.
No, and you also have to be careful with position. Otherwise, you're going to feel like you're being waterboarded.
All right, I'll tell you.
I'll tell you everything.
And again, even if I had fetishes, I'm not telling a chick. Especially if it was a weird one. Because, you know, at a certain point, you're going to break up. She's going to go tell everybody.
At some point, you got to trust.
All right. What things have you told Terry you're into?
Let's do news.
Is she into anything weird?
We're not talking about any of that.
Is she...
I'm not into anything. She's not into anything.
And she is...
We're not into anything.
Adverse.
Stop it.
Okay. Man, you better shut up.
My wife...
That's my wife.
I'll break my truck off in your fish pond.
And I'll never pull it out.
You know, that just doesn't help Luke Bryan's image. You told me yesterday, the day before, he's big on falling off the stage.
Well, I wouldn't say he's big on it. He just encounters it quite a bit.
And he drives his truck into fish ponds.
Yeah.
He seems to have an issue with coordination. God, that'd be great had he fallen off the stage at the CMAs. Catch.
Guard, catch me. I'm falling. Oh, my savior. Hey, watch this. I'm going to fall again.
With my butt kind of arched in the air.
Yeah, like a kitty cat.
Fall backwards.
We'll write a song to Garth. I just call it.
Reverse Cowboy.
Garth, catch me. I'm falling.
It was Kathy Dennis.
Who's that?
Sings a song, Catch Me, I'm Falling.
You're thinking of Pretty Poison.
Her too.
Man, it's going south.
Dude, this show never gets anywhere past the Rio Grande, Red River. Either way, we're just kind of stuck in the middle. Oh, the show's going south. We're on a tether.
One time our compass just spun.
Wrong button. There it is. Well, you got about 2 minutes. Go ahead.
That's all right. I got plenty of time. Dallas Cowboys defensive tackle Josh Brent said yesterday he wants to return to the field to ensure the death of teammate and friend Jerry Brown was not in vain. Dallas activated Brent on Tuesday, one of the last steps toward his return to the field, nearly 2 years after the drunk driving crash that led to his conviction for intoxication manslaughter. Brent last played in December of 2012, just days before the crash that killed Brown and Irving. Brent told reporters at Valley Ranch, Jerry was a great person, a great player, and had a bright future. Once again, a mistake that I made took that away from him, took that away from his daughter, took that away from his mother. So that's something I make sure I keep and feel conscious of, that I never let his name die in vain.
I'm not trying to be ugly here, but how does getting back on the football field... Sorry, I'm choking.
He's looking at it like if he doesn't get back to football, something that he and Jerry both loved, since one of them can't continue it, then he needs to carry it for both of them. Otherwise, if he doesn't make it, then he's going to feel like he didn't accomplish everything he could have or should have, and will feel like a failure.
I honestly, and again, I'm not trying to be obtuse, I don't see how the two are linked. If I don't get back on the football field, he would have died in vain. I could see it if someone had some disease, and by them donating their body to science, there was a cure that came from that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, if we don't accept this body for science, then they would have died in vain because nothing came from it.
Right.
I don't think, maybe this is just some type of rationale in his head of, all right, there's nothing I can do. I screwed up. Maybe this will make me feel better if I can say I'm doing this just so his memory lives on.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what he's doing. Brent was placed on the 53-man roster on Tuesday. The NFL granted his petition for reinstatement before the season, but they suspended him for 10 games. Brent said he is a resilient person and that has helped him through the past 2 years. He also said, but that's only by the grace of God and the support of the Cowboys organization, my family, Miss Jackson, the NFL, and my teammates. Without the support of them, I wouldn't have been able to make it, but I'm here today. He said, I miss Jerry. That was my best friend. To know that he's not here because of a mistake that I made that could have been prevented, it hurts me every day. Now, he's not expected to play. You know, obviously the Cowboys are on a bye next week, this week, then next week they go to New York. But before he can actually dress out for and play in a game, Coach Garrett said he's got to get into football shape and he's got to lose some weight.
Well, at least the statement didn't try and blame anybody. Well, I was overserved. The car I was in wasn't, you know, there was a malfunction, or it was a guy from, was it Gone in 60s? No. Fast and Furious?
Oh, yeah. Paul Walker.
Yeah. His wife is suing Porsche or somebody. Well, there were defects in that car.
Well, almost any car is going to be defective when you're driving 90 in a 45.
Well, the black box said they were only going 50.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and all the modifications, you know, were done to that car.
Yeah, so in this instance, Josh, there were no fingers anywhere else. Not like he said, what was the name of the player that died?
Jerry Brown.
He didn't say, well, you know, Jerry kept pushing me to drink, and, you know, I was the soberest out of the two. He didn't blame anybody. It's still a reckless thing to do, but there are a lot of people that will look for any kind of spin to make themselves feel better or think they're going to spin their public image of, you know, if I can defend this long enough, people will believe me.
Yeah. The other aspect, it's even more motivation for him, is since Jerry Brown had a daughter, so he not only killed his best friend, he killed a daddy. So what he now has to do is put himself in that position to take care of that little girl, not only as a father figure, as much as she will accept him, but monetarily. He's got even more to prove and play for, to make money for her. Not just for him so he can live in a nice house and drive a nice car, but so he can provide for that little girl because he took her dad from him.
I get it, but those are all the right things to do. If you killed somebody with no malice,
mm-hmm.
then, yeah, you need to make sure other people around them are taken care of if you were responsible. You know, maybe it's the fact that so many people blame so many other different aspects, car, road, poor engineering as far as the highway. It just stands out now when somebody said, I did it, it's my fault.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, well, yeah, you should say all these things and do all those things. Are you looking for some story goes with this?
Kind of. There was an old guy that got beat severely outside of Campese's in Dallas on Mockingbird. I think it was last year. And they still never caught the perps, but
I know this story. Go ahead.
But he's suing Campisi's and the owner of, see, Campisi's, Radio Shack, and the owner of the strip center there on Mockingbird for not providing security and for bad lighting.
I remember the story. I don't think we ever talked about it on the air, but no. It was, I only saw the lawsuit against Campisi's. I'm going to sue them.
Yes.
First thing I thought is, well, first of all, they don't have any control over the parking lot. That's the owner. I'm sure they're just leasing the place. The other thing is that I think somebody pointed out, and it might have been in the lawsuit, well, it's kind of a seedy area, and there really should be, if it's a seedy area, don't go there and don't get out of your car. And you know what dark looks like. I got a break.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
607, this is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Three Forks Steakhouse. Let's get started off in South Dallas, just for Luke. Southbound Loop 12, Walton Walker, right at Jefferson Davis. Got an accident there in the clearing stage. This traffic is backed up back from I-35, also in Dallas. Southbound I-35, right at Mockingbird, got an accident blocking the right shoulder. Traffic is backed up back from Northwest Highway. Yeah, hey, Luke. What's up? Okay. All right, I'm sorry. All right, I'm sorry. All right, westbound 183 right at Regal Row. Got a stalled vehicle. If you put your mind to it, you can. Yeah, it is a scary experience in the chopper here. I ain't never fallen out of a chopper, Luke. Oh, my God. No, I've never done that. No, neither. No. Okay, westbound 183, right at Regal Row, got a stalled vehicle blocked. I'm just a shirt and a hoodie. No, I'm not dressed like a clown. I know you will.
You gonna be able to finish?
Yeah, I got this. All right, eastbound.
Almost out of bed.
All right, sorry. Let's wrap it up. Northbound 75 before Spring Valley and Richardson got an accident blocking the HOV and the two left lanes. Traffic's jacked up all the way back from Mockingbird. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
I'll do both. Eagle weather brought to you by Nordstrom Rack tonight. Clear and 23. Tomorrow sunny and 46. Right now, 38. The 97.1 The Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
Yeah, I don't know how many Campisi's there are. The one I used to go to in the, I will say, 80s was on Mockingbird in Dallas.
That's the original one. They've expanded since then into some satellite locations, but that's home base.
Is that the one being sued?
Yes. Yeah, a grandfather attacked and beaten after picking up dinner at Campisi's last January will sue over poor lighting in the lot and inadequate security. The attack happened at night outside the Mockingbird Avenue restaurant in East Dallas. Police have made no arrests in the case. Luis Rocha is 70, said he's still dealing with his injuries from that night. He was jumped from behind by attackers and struck multiple times with a crowbar. Rocha's attorney said the suit will be filed against Campisi's, Radio Shack, which is located next door, and the landlord, Corinth Properties.
How did Radio Shack get in on it? Just because they're part of the strip center?
Yeah, they're next door to Campisi's.
Was Radio Shack even open at the time?
That I do not know. But it's there, so they're going after it.
Are they suing everybody in the strip center or just in close proximity to Campisi's?
I think it's right in front of Campisi's and down in front of that Radio Shack.
All right, I don't know how you... He wasn't doing business with Radio Shack. I don't get how you clumped them in. Hey, let's go after Tandy. Hey, have you seen Tandy's P&L statements?
Ugh.
Yeah.
You'd be better off suing the tailor on the other side of Campisi's.
If you're going to sue... You're going to sue... I don't even know if Tandy still owns Radio Shack.
They do. They're all part of the same company.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to sue them. You better hurry up.
Yeah. And Rocha is seeking more than $1 million in damages. His attorney claims the area where Campisi's is located is known for its violent crime.
Okay. So you're going to blame Campisi's on Mockingbird for the violent crime in the area. If it's known for that.
It's not.
Then you steer away from it.
It's not.
Doesn't it,
what?
Doesn't the former chief of police live right there? Chief Kunkel?
He lives off one of the, I don't want to say exactly, he may have moved.
Off of Greenville?
Yeah, one of those letter streets.
M streets?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's close to Campisi's. Close enough.
How are you saying it?
Campisi's.
Say Cool Whip.
Cool Whip. Or do you want me to say Cool Whip?
I don't know. Sounds like you're saying Campisi's funny.
No, I'm just saying Campisi's.
Well, you're saying it right now.
Campisi's?
Yeah, that. Anybody else notice?
Yeah, no, I noticed it too. He sounded like he said Campisi's.
Campisi's.
It's Campisi's.
Okay, well, call the family and have them correct me.
I don't have to. Cool Whip.
Went to school with one of them.
One of the Campisi's?
Mm-hmm.
What is a date for this to go to court? I can't fathom.
I don't know.
All right, how many times has this happened? If there was a history of people being attacked in the parking lot.
The only history I know of that ever happened in front of that Campisi's was Campisi's. Sorry. You're the Italian. How would your grandparents have said it?
Campisi's.
Okay. Then Campisi's.
You make it sound like there's an extra C or something in there.
No, it's an S.
I know. But go ahead.
Okay.
The only thing that you know in that area?
Was back in the early 90s was a Major League Baseball umpire was attacked or was defending someone who was being attacked in front of the restaurant, and he was severely injured, I want to say paralyzed, in the event. So that, and that was long suspected to have some sort of a mob tie-in as opposed to being a random attack, and then this.
You know, I hate to go back to being Captain Obvious, but there's always an attorney that's going to take something.
Yeah.
It's like when I got sued and I did a, not long after I was ordained by the Universal Life Church in Modesto, California.
Mm-hmm.
I did a wedding for Brad, who was doing mornings with me at the time on the Eagle.
Oh, yeah.
Did it outside the studio. Brad, part of their family, and I talked about it a couple of days later on the air, and they sued for defamation. Never said their name, never said where it was, I don't even know if we said how they were related to Brad. And they started their suit at like $6-7 million.
Jesus.
And the only reason they got anything is the company was being sold at the time, and they went, we got to get all this stuff off the plate just so we can, you know, sign clear title over to the new company. So we went to, what do you call that resolution thing?
Arbitrator.
Thank you. Arbitration. I think they got 20 grand.
That's so stupid.
But, you know, this attorney was working on contingency, so he got at least a third plus expenses. So I don't know what they ended up with.
I'd be shocked if they got 10 grand.
But it was one of those suits that just somebody, they went, oh, so in a corporation, this guy bad-mouthed you on the radio? Well, I can't fathom how, I'm going to bring a truck just to put all the money in.
I know it.
And their attorney was just a buffoon. That was my first ever deposition. And the legal firm that our company retained, let me go meet with them. He already knew the story.
Mm-hmm.
Our attorney, he said, first of all, don't worry about this. He goes, but here's how it works in a deposition. Tell them the truth. Don't volunteer anything.
And boy, did you. Follow his instructions is what I mean.
And they had thrown everything in there. Breach of fiduciary duty. Suing me personally.
Right.
Because I was their pastor.
Yes.
Even though I'd never met them. I didn't meet them until the day I walked into their trashy mobile home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the judge had thrown out everything against me personally. So at that point, I didn't care what happened.
Yeah.
And one last thing, I forgot what the dangly thing was. And we go to arbitration, and their attorney comes in and goes, all right, we'll take $500,000. Our attorneys went, you get zero. And they ended up around 20.
That's a bad lawyer, man.
Oh, this guy was a buffoon.
But then again, they had no case in the first place, so you know, getting what they got is sort of a miracle.
Well, 20 grand, as far as I'm sure that whoever owned the Eagle at the time, they had spent more than 20 grand just for just a retainer.
Yeah.
But yeah, the attorney that was asking me questions during the deposition. How many cities are you on? I don't know. You don't know? Nope, never counted them in North Texas. How many states are you on in? I don't know. Are you syndicated? That one I know. No.
Ha.
Do you keep audio of the show? Yes. How often do you record over those tapes? Varies. Varies on what? On how many tapes we got.
Mm-hmm.
How many tapes do you have? Varies.
That's true.
That is. It's all true. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't have to lie about anything. He was just too easy to play. Because they were asking for audio of the show.
Yeah.
And I think they waited a week or so when they asked for it. Well, we only had so many tapes, and we just recorded over it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who records over the tapes? Scott. How often does he do that? Varies.
Yeah.
Did you make comments about all the people smoking in the mobile home? Yes. How many people were smoking? I don't recall. But that made a difference.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. And actually, that's actually helping the cause. Like, did you make a casual observance and broadcast that on the air?
Oh, everything I said was accurate.
Had
there been video of the entire wedding, all you got to do is show it, because attorneys always say truth is the absolute defense.
Mm-hmm.
I drive out there. It's a mobile home. I park next to an ice cream truck. I went into their mobile home. Place is packed full of smoke. They had taken their TV set, covered up with a blanket or whatever, and that was the altar. And it was mandatory that you smoke.
It was. See, that's at every wedding, you're supposed to get some type of gift, like a party favor for having attended. Sometimes it's a chocolate, like a candy. Sometimes it's, you know, like a koozie or something. In this case, it was a smoke.
At the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
What else did they try and go after me? He tried to peg me down to some type of timeline. And at that point, it was about a year old.
Okay.
I went, I don't recall. Well, was it a couple of weeks? I don't recall. Was it over a month? I don't recall. Because if you give them, and I didn't, I had no idea. I don't remember what the question was. If you give them anything, if you say you don't recall, and they say, well, was it less than a month? Yeah, I think so. Now they've got you, because then you've given them a timeline and they can narrow it down. Well, you remember it was a month, but you can't remember how many weeks. So you just don't recall.
Right.
I forget. Prove I don't forget. And we had never said their names. There was no way to identify them. My deposition, I think it could have gone as long as, I think at the time, 7 hours.
Oh.
After about 2.5, he gave up.
Good.
The people suing me in the station, mm-hmm. their deposition went 8 hours and was probably, let's say my deposition was 10 pages. I think theirs was over 100.
Oh, my God.
Because once you get them started, they didn't shut up.
Jesus.
Damn.
Because they would just go off in different directions. I could tell this attorney was getting pissed off, and our attorney said, here's another thing. If they're not videotaping the deposition, the court reporter chick, all she transcribes is what you say. Mm-hmm. She doesn't put pause, reflects, anything.
Jesus.
He said, if there's no videotape, you lean back and think about it for 5 or 10 minutes. And then ask him to rephrase it.
It's amazing that you had the patience to even do that.
Well, once I knew all the charge, the allegations against me were gone, It really was a game. And I can tell this guy was a buffoon. First of all, if I'm giving you a hard time and you can't keep your footing on legal ground and you're the attorney,
right,
you're not a good one. Well, I got a law degree. Man, I used to drive to Eastfield. Oh, you got a degree? I didn't say I went in. That's why I only do weddings in the studio now. Even though it didn't cost me anything, it was just the fact that somebody was cock. And in the course of their depositions, you find out this chick had had a kid out of wedlock. She was a topless dancer, and she's suing me for defamation.
And you're also probably pissed that you didn't know all that stuff when you talked about it the first time on the air. Because that would have made the stories even better.
It was a pretty good one to begin with. You got a wedding inside a mobile home, and they're coming down the hallway, and they're playing a theme to Dallas, and smoke's all over the place.
What was the bride's staging room? Was it the toilet?
I'm sure it was a master bedroom at the very end of the mobile home.
Ah, classy.
Well, there was an expectation of privacy. We have a fiduciary duty with our pastor. I don't know you. In fact, when I got there, I went, does anybody have a Bible? So going back to the Campese's thing, there's always some dick out there that'll take it.
The other thing that it is dumb about what the attorney said was the area is known for its violent crime. Dude, it's Dallas. The whole area is known for its violent crime. You want to pick an area? I'll show you statistics where violent crime has occurred.
And how many times has this guy been going to Campese's? That's a question I would ask as the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Gone there a lot? So you're aware this is a dangerous part of town.
Right.
Or if it is, you're aware of that.
And then when you bring, say, the owner of Campese's up to be deposed as well, as a defense, you would ask him, hey, Joe, how often are people attacked in front of your restaurant? I don't know, once every 22 years or so? All right, that seems pretty terrible. All right, we're done.
I'm not really sure. I don't stand out in the parking lot all the time. Sometimes stuff happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes it don't.
There's a reason why no one's found these guys. Even though it's a $15,000 reward.
Sometimes they start crap in my parking lot. Sometimes they vanish. If you really want to know, you'll have to talk to my consigliere.
Oh, God.
I don't see this one going anywhere. And I'm going to guess the Campese family has a lot of money. So they'll be like, well, we're not just going to fold like a paper napkin and go, oh, we'll take our money.
Mm-hmm.
You pull up, you know it was dark. And if it really is a bad part of town, probably knew that if you're a frequent customer.
And it's not a bad part of town.
There's a
brand new shopping center. That whole Mockingbird station is.
I was
going to
say
the
light rail station.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The whole area has been, I mean, not recently, but it's been revamped. That light rail's been there for a while.
Yeah, but that area was revamped well before this attack happened.
Maybe they're looking at other businesses on Mockingbird in that part of Dallas. Of hey, look at the Taco Bell. Look how well lit the parking lot is there. Nothing ever happens there.
Because that thing's open past 2 a.m.
Well, all you have to do is go back and find one attack and go, hey, lights, no lights. Sometimes robbers rob.
And that was what stuck out to me with this was, I understand if you're trying to, blame somebody. You want to be able to find some sort of justice. But if I get hit in the head with a crowbar outside of a restaurant, I'm going to blame the guy that hit me in the head with the crowbar, not Campese's.
And that's our... I'd like to think, for the most part, that's normal thinking. If I get attacked someplace, I'm not going to go back to Dillard's and go, hey, this guy stole my cologne tester. It's like crime just happens. You can't. It's a restaurant. They're not there to protect the entire area. If, it's some place like a big country western bar, then, maybe you have off-duty police officers, something like that. But still, that's something you do for your customers, not necessarily for liability.
And it's as much as police would love
the ability to prevent all crime? It can't. Most of the time, police is responding to crime in progress.
Yeah, crime with law enforcement is normally reactive and not proactive.
Mm-hmm. Because most
so why not sue the Dallas Police Department as well? Why weren't they patrolling the area? That's their job. They have a fiduciary duty to protect me as I'm getting my calzone.
It's really not that much of a stretch.
Well, a DeSue Campese's based on there's not enough light. I don't own the parking lot. I leased this part of the parking lot where the restaurant is. Everything out there, that's the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And they're asking for how much?
At least it says more than $1 million.
All right. This is another one. I'll be interested to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Give me a quick one. We got a break.
Okay. That's a little long. That's a little long.
Wasted all your time.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
.635, another check on traffic over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles' Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Walgreens. Getting started off in Dallas. South on I-35 right at Mockingbird. Got an accident there blocking the right shoulder. Traffic is backed up back to Northwest Highway, also in Dallas. Excuse me, westbound 183 right at Regal Road. Got a stalled vehicle blocking the left lane. Traffic there is backed up back to the 35-183 split. This one is also causing a backup on northbound I-35 back to the Market Center. Still in Dallas, eastbound 635 right at Preston Road. Got a stalled out 18-wheeler blocking the center lane. Traffic there is backed up back on I-35. In Richardson, northbound 75 just before Spring Valley. Got an accident in the clearing stages there. Traffic is backed up all the way back to Woodall Rogers. About a half hour delay through it still. And finally, in Fort Worth, eastbound I-20, out at East Loop 820, got an accident there. That is also in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up. Back to 35W. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagle, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by ExxonMobil. Clear skies and 23 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny at a high of 46. Right now, 38 degrees and 97.1 the Eagle.
How about some...
How about you suck my... Blake Mucko!
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
No, they copied me on that when it was somebody worried about the... us being sacrilegious with the Christmas special. Man, I don't know about all this different stuff with black Jesus and whatever. Well, first of all, there are theologians that think Jesus was black. Hair of wool, dark skin.
Doesn't exactly sound like a honky.
No.
I don't care. Well, I don't care what painting you have up in your house.
Certainly not Irish.
No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, the painting in your house, whatever you got of Jesus... First of all, there were no pictures of him. So you're just going on description. And my guess is whatever picture you got's been photoshopped. Or not. I don't want to blaspheme.
Well, they did that when they took the strokes of that paintbrush. No, no, no. Lighter, lighter.
Think mass appeal. They email you too?
Yeah. They said, hey, I have a bad feeling, boss. I have a bad feeling that you guys are going to get into trouble with the Christmas special. The baby Jesus Elvis or James Brown baby Jesus. I don't know. I just think you guys might be protested for this one. Maybe you should consult one of the real pastors that listen to your show.
Well, first of all, nobody knows what the script is. We barely know what it is. We're going to have a table read tonight to see if this is something that we think is worth pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
We think the musical number will save it. Which was Dan's idea.
Sorry.
Man, this thing's got to have a musical number in it.
Go big or go home.
Nothing's flashed on me that just works perfectly.
Not me either yet.
And you want something that people would know. You don't want to go back to, first of all, it needs to be like a big musical,
mm-hmm.
like Seth MacFarlane does on Family Guy.
Right. It's got to be over the top.
But it's got to be something recognizable. And Seth MacFarlane has used things that I'm surprised I've picked up on. He pulled stuff, I think, out of The Music Man,
mm-hmm.
the musical with Robert Preston that they turned into a movie. They did some of those numbers. Like, dude, what is your target demo? Because the first time I saw it, it's like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be kids looking at it going, who's so poopy?
The hell? Yeah, they don't realize it, but they're accidentally getting cultured by watching Family Guy.
Yeah, then all of a sudden, I think that was from The Music Man. What was it? Sapoopy or Zapoopy?
Shapoopy.
Shapoopy. I think that's what it was from. I could see them sing the actual musical going.
They stole from Seth MacFarlane!
Hacks.
So how could you be worried about something when you don't even know what the script is? It was like all the protests before The Last Temptation of Christ.
You can't be mad until you're mad. You can't be pre-mad.
Oh, people love being pre-mad.
I know they do, but...
I got to protest this even before the movie's out. I have no idea what the script is. I just know it doesn't need to exist.
I can't believe you'd ever even, for once, think Christ was tempted by anything, please. What do you think the 40 days in the desert were, you idiot?
You know he was tempted. Had somebody been sitting in a mobile home with a window unit?
Ooh. Yeah.
Ain't even tempted to walk on in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know you don't know me or anything. I'm Jesus Christ, Messiah. I'm not selling anything. Could I just come in there and sit in your cool air?
Is you a Jehovah's Witness?
Technically.
Double T.
It's got to be one of our better unplanned lines.
I'm rather proud of that moment.
Sorry, you caught me without my Watchtower magazines. Are you okay, Alfred?
I know.
Did some girl get in there?
I don't know, but I'm pulling that as a drop.
Yeah. It was weird.
It's like the day that I called Alfie. I don't know what I wanted.
Oh, God, yes. I don't remember either.
He turned his mic on. And just the way he moved his mic around and said, yes, sounded like he had just transformed into something.
Or from something.
Yeah. I got the clip. Alfie?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Jesus. Good Lord.
Did you just transform from a bat?
And I don't think we were ever able to replicate that noise.
No, we tried.
That's all it sounded like. You got any Dracula. Mm-hmm. Just listen to the soundtrack. It
still gets me.
Alfie?
Yes, sir.
Holy Jesus.
It's like you could hear it get closer as if he was away from the mic. He had to get there in a hurry. And then when he got to the microphone, he realized, well, I can't talk if I'm a bat.
Yeah. Oh, hell, they're going to see me in a bat.
I have to switch back to my human form.
Alfie?
Yes, sir.
Holy Jesus.
Good Lord. Did you just train?
And I didn't enhance that at all. No. I bumped up the levels. That one is just so odd. And I don't know. I didn't ask at the time. Was everybody thinking the same thing?
Yes.
Did he just transform from a bat?
Yes.
Yep. Alfie?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, seriously, that sounds like damn wings and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like he was just waiting to be called on, but still kind of by surprise.
Yeah, I kind of caught him off guard. No, I'm not doing anything. I'm just flying around the studio. I'm answering phones. He thinks I'm screening phone calls. Oh, hell, he just called me. Hold on a second. I got to talk. Alfie?
Yes, sir.
Holy Jesus.
Good Lord.
Did you just transform from a bat?
Oh, my God.
And that's one of those things. If we were in the middle of a show meeting and one of us came up with that idea, we'd have thought, how are we going to make that sound real? We would have tried it, and it never would have sounded that good.
No.
Or it would have sounded too good because we would have had to take the audio from some type of bat movie, which I'm sure would have made Lou Diamond Phillips happy.
Nah, not really. This movie Bats sucked.
He'd just be happy to get the mention.
Where were we? What were we talking about?
Bad feeling about the Christmas special.
How'd we get off onto Alfie and turning a bat?
You said something about being a Jehovah's Witness.
Jesus turned from...
Yeah, Jesus temptation of Christ. People pre-mad. People are pre-worried about the Christmas special.
How'd we get off onto Alfie turning in from bat?
Jehovah's Witness. he made one of those funny laugh sounds that you want to...
Yeah. Use. He sounded like a girl when he was laughing about Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, okay. Yeah. God. Thank you. Damn, this show's hard to follow.
God, can I have a drink, please?
I'm telling you right now, dude, it ain't going to help.
Give me that when you're done.
Just lettuce. I think we blasphemed enough, and if nobody's protested and God hasn't taken out his irritations on me, I think we're all right.
Mm-hmm. Unless he's just waiting for the right moment.
God knows what's in my heart.
I know, but I don't want him to have a Loki moment.
You can't touch me. I'm Russ Martin. I'm a radio messiah.
Puny messiah.
Was this guy in the email, does he come off as a religious fanatic, or is he just really... truly worried about us?
No, he just, what I get out of it is that he's just truly worried. He says, I don't know. I just think maybe you guys might be protested for this one. Maybe you should consult one of the real pastors that listen to your show, which is already a slap. You're a real pastor.
I don't have a real church.
Well, no. I mean,
I don't have a real congregation. I mean, if you want to go.
Are all of us ordained? I am. Alfie is.
Mm-hmm.
Chloe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We are a.
Flock?
Yes.
Clock? What do you call a congregation of pastors? A pluck? Pastors? A pride of? No, it's lions beat us to that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's what four of us are.
Okay. That is the collective name for us as far as pastors go.
Mm-hmm.
A cup of pastors.
Tell your friends.
Well, we've had... pastors from real churches in North Texas call in. Not complaining, just adding information or saying, you know, that was, I write real sermons and the one you just did, I got inspired by it. I don't know how you get inspired by one of my sermons, but you want to steal it? Go ahead. God knows where you got it.
Mm-hmm. God knows a hack when he sees one.
So, just trust us. I haven't been fined in 30 years or ever. Just leave me alone. We got this one.
Yeah.
Harold from the CFE, Christians for Family Entertainment. I think they folded a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think they finally gave up.
I'm going to get you off. Going to get you off the air, Mr. Martin.
Really, Harold? Are you sure?
Mr. Martin, you're blaspheming.
So? So what if I'd like to blaspheme? A lot of people like to turn glass into funny shapes and all.
They do. There's a whole art to it.
I didn't say glass blower.
Well, that's what I got out of it because I'm stupid. What are the other emails?
Russ, did you jack with us about the yawning thing? I went home and yawned in front of my dog and my two cats for 30 minutes. Not once did they yawn back. One of my cats that has never hissed at me, though, hissed at me, then scratched my nose and ran off. Or does this just mean my animals don't like me?
I Googled it. I read it someplace. So we were talking about yawning yesterday. That they say animals pick up a lot of things from you, and I think yawning was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it works in reverse, because I started pissing on my own floor.
two-way street.
Hey, that looks pretty cool.
Man, that sure looks easy. You ain't got to do nothing. You ain't got to flush. You just stand there and just kind of freewheel it.
It would be kind of interesting, though, to see the dogs looking at you.
Hey, man, I'm going to slip in that.
Yeah.
Or Gina come over and ask, which one of the dogs did that?
Well.
My guess is this was like a collective. Maybe they were having a circle piss. That grunt looks like it's yours.
How? Yeah. How do you know that's mine?
Russ, did you on the floor?
I did.
Man's got six bathrooms.
I don't know. I got so excited thinking about that Tara pissing in her car, and I just let it go. Next thing you know.
Oh, God.
No, I wasn't making the yawn thing up. Is there another email?
Russ, I can't believe you sometimes. You'll entertain the idea of Kenzie dating a listener, but you won't even let her look at Billy the Kid. What's wrong with Billy?
She could go look at Billy. She could look at Cruz. She could look at that guy, that the other guy she's got the hots for.
McCray.
Yeah, McCray, who produces for Billy.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we call over to Billy's studio, if he's not in there and McCray answers the phone, you can hear it just Kenzie over here on the my right. Just whoosh, 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 whoosh.
Filling up her own dunk tank.
It just sounds like a washing machine out of balance. Hey, somebody want to stop Kenzie and move those towels around inside her vagina?
Yeah.
We got one more break?
Yeah. Right.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
658, this is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles' Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Reliant Energy. Whole lot going on. Most of it's in Dallas. We're starting off eastbound I-20, right at I-35 in Dallas. Got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic goes back to back from Wheatland Road, also in Dallas. South on I-35, right at Mockingbird. Got an accident blocking the right shoulder. Your backup there is all the way back from Northwest Highway. Still in Dallas, westbound 183, right at Regal Road. Got a stalled vehicle blocking the left lane. Traffic's backed up onto I-35, back from Market Center. Last one in Dallas, eastbound 635, right at Preston. Got a stalled out 18-wheeler blocking the center lane. Traffic's backed up back from Lunar Road. Finally in Allen, southbound 75, right at Exchange Parkway. Got an accident there. It's blocking the two left lanes. Traffic's backed up back from 121. Listen to City School tomorrow morning at 8:25 for a shot to win a pair of tickets to the Toys for Tots event at Trees featuring Gemini Syndrome and Nonpoint on November 21st. Details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by ExxonMobil. Clear and 23 tonight, then tomorrow sunny and a high around 46. Right now it's 38 degrees at 97.1 the Eagle.
Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
All right, Daniel. We're still sitting on the table.
Let's see. I got a couple more emails. Let me see. Actually, let me do this one real quick. A Dallas police officer has added another title to his name, Dog Rescuer. A 911 call came in about a child possibly choking in the back seat of an SUV, but when the officer pulled over the driver, there was a furry patient. When Officer Albert Sanchez answered the call about an erratic driver, he didn't know the reason and didn't expect his patrol car to become a canine ambulance.
Damn, that's Harry's kid I ever seen.
Scrappy is a 13-year-old Spaniel that had cataracts and difficulty walking.
Oh.
Last Tuesday after...
That makes the entire process even worse for anybody.
Yeah.
Especially a vet, because they got cataracts, they can't really see. The vet, they may know by smell because they've been there a lot. A cop, new smell, that's... Go ahead.
Scrappy's a 13-year-old Spaniel that has cataracts and difficulty walking. Last Tuesday, after Scrappy was diagnosed with laryngeal paralysis, his owner, Carolina... heard him asphyxiating in the back seat of her car as she pulled into her parking garage. In rush hour in uptown Dallas traffic, she tried to speed to the nearest emergency vet clinic.
I'm sorry, what city was this?
Dallas.
Okay. Got a happy ending?
Yes.
Good on Dallas.
She tried to speed to the nearest emergency vet clinic. She saw his tongue and gums turn purple, so she called 911, but was told officers could not help her because Scrappy is a dog. Officer Sanchez was nearby and saw the honking and speeding. Carolina says Sanchez parted the crowded road with his lights and siren on, pulled up next to her, and asked about her emergency. She said, he stopped. I told him it was a dog, and he immediately told me to calm down. He grabbed my purse, everything I had in my hands. I'm trying to show him where I'm trying to go, and he immediately grabbed Scrappy, put him in the back seat, and said, get in, let's go. With Scrappy and Caroline in the back of his car, Sanchez zipped down Turtle Creek to an animal ER. He stayed with her until clinic staff gave Scrappy oxygen and told Carolina her dog would survive. Sanchez is the neighborhood patrol officer for Uptown Dallas. Dallas police would not let him talk to Fox 4 about his heroic effort, but Carolina says she received an email from him saying he was just glad he was in the right place at the right time. He, too, is a dog owner and could empathize with her hysteria at the moment with her dog on the brink of death.
Wonder why Chief Brown wouldn't let him talk to Fox 4.
My guess is I think that might be, this is my assumption, I think that's a BS thing. I think what probably happened was he declined.
Oh.
That's my guess. I don't think, I would assume the police department would say, get in front of the TV. Make us look good.
With all the, everything going on around the country, especially in Ferguson. Well, officer, was it Sanchez?
Yeah.
Officer Sanchez, come here. You go stand out in front of those cameras.
Mm-hmm.
You take your accolades. You saved a dog. People love dogs. People hate people. Not once has there ever been a bad story about somebody saving an animal. You save that animal. Put your hand down. Now you get out there in front of the cameras.
Ow. That's why.
Hey, you know what? A lot of... They got priorities, and I it's hard to fathom what a daily schedule for a police officer is, but for him to take time, knowing that dog didn't have long to live, it's like that. I hate to go back to myself, but one day when Twiggy was choking on something, I didn't know what it was.
Right.
She had that look in her eyes where I knew I had to figure it out. I had to figure it out fast. And luckily, this police officer knew this chick wasn't lying, and this dog was on the verge of dying.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, then he could look in her back seat and see, okay, this dog's in trouble.
The dog had some type of paralysis of the larynx.
Yeah, so the dog was having, you know, couldn't swallow, and then it tried to swallow something.
Okay, I know I always start these statements off this way, but I have to. Mm-hmm. And you know there's going to be somebody someplace in the city of Dallas that's going to have a fit because this officer wasted taxpayer dollars to save an animal.
Shut up.
I tell you what. If it becomes an issue, I will cover it. Up to 10 days and then I'm no longer interested.
You're right, though. But, you know, someone...
If it keeps the officer out of trouble or somebody... Keeping somebody quiet, as far as the citizen goes. Had it happen in Frisco, where I pay a lot of taxes.
Yeah, you do.
And a Frisco officer saved anybody's animal. I'm going to leave them a tip. I'd be proud to know that part of my county taxes, city taxes, whatever, went to an officer that has compassion. Because it works. Think about it like this. We know... People that abuse animals go on to abuse adults.
Yes.
Okay. Think of an officer who has compassion for animals. Wouldn't that expand the same way?
Certainly.
Compassion for animals, compassion for people.
Yes.
And it would probably grow exponentially. So instead of thinking of all the negative aspects, think of how this really plays out with his personality.
And even if someone was to say, oh, you get all of crime solved, you can save the dog... A different way to look at it would be there was a woman driving erratically in town.
Could have killed somebody.
Certainly. So the officer intervened and said, you know what? I know how we can make this safer for everybody. Why don't you two get in my car and I'll drive us? See? Everybody's safer.
And also the upside is if you hate cops, think about this one being distracted so he's not out beating somebody.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of different ways to go at this.
And if you're looking for a good time to rob somebody's house?
Look at that.
Perfect.
Cops got compassion for an animal. Why don't you just run amok? And I'm still truly surprised nobody's complained about firemen and paramedics using oxygen masks on dogs that they pull out of fires.
I have yet to see someone complain about that. If you do, I think even an internet troll, like someone just doing it on purpose, I think people would recognize, all right, you're just being a troll, whatever. But if someone truly believed that, I think everyone they know would all line up to take dumps on their head.
Dude, I'm an internet troll and I hate everything. And I send that cute boy at Target, I send him death threats just because he's pretty. But for you complaining about them firemen, I'm going to your mouth. Yeah, if you get bagged on by an internet troll, it's like when the KKK kind of bonded with military, sort of, to protest against the Westboro Baptist Church.
Right.
There's just a certain bond, regardless of your basic theological beliefs.
The internet trolls don't mess around. They do not take kindly to animal abuse. They will hunt you down.
Well, no, what I mean by a troll is just someone that's just looking to incite. I don't mean...
Well, what I extrapolated from that was even a-holes would go after somebody who complained about somebody saving a dog's life. Like, is it your money? I pay taxes. Okay, let's say it was Arlington Fire, and they saved a dog, and they gave him 800 tanks of oxygen. Where do you live, Dallas? What wasn't your money?
Yeah, it was the same thing as... years ago, Mark Davis complaining about Dallas Fire Department.
Standing on the corner collecting money for MS?
Even though
MD?
Yes, MD. Okay. Even though he lived in Keller and worked in Arlington at the time.
And he wasn't even born here. He's a carpetbagger. I don't like people standing on corners begging for money. They're not people begging for money for themselves. They're firefighters. They hold that boot out. You better put money in there. You're lucky it's not cops sticking a gun in your window. Give me money for muscular dystrophy.
There's a reason why the police version of that campaign never took off.
Yeah. I didn't give them any money. I got paintball sitting inside my own car.
Oh, it's
then
funny.
Then he followed me home and tased my wife. I never got that with Mark because Mark really is the same mentality as us. Logical, he's probably a little further to the right than we are because, you know, Mark and illegal immigration, illegal is illegal. Well, you know what? Illegal and real life, you got to play the two together. It's too late. You know, you can't collect up all the illegals, throw them on a flatbed truck, even though they probably enjoy it. And ship them back to Mexico because they're illegal. You can't. We waited too long. We invited them up. We give them jobs. We don't rat them out when they're doing work for us on our house for cheap. But all of a sudden, well, they're draining all our resources. Well, they're also adding to our resources. It doesn't mean illegal is right, but there's got to be a better way to fix it than just complaining about them and coming up with some type of concoction of, well, just get a bunch of 18-wheelers. What if they don't want to go back? Because they seem pretty unified.
Yeah. And he also had mentioned that they're taking American jobs without thinking about, okay, send illegals back. Now you have to get all these unemployed people to accept the jobs that the illegals were doing. If they accept those jobs, the cost, like what you're going to have to pay them, is going to have to probably triple. So
if they even want to take the job.
If they were to even take the job. Now, what do you think is going to happen the next time you need a new roof?
Instead of, first of all, forget about having your deductible covered because a lot of roofing companies will go, okay, I think I can work this to where if your deductible is $3,000, we got that. You can forget those days if you ship all these people back. And after Katrina, who was it showed up to help rebuild the city? Hmm. The Latinos.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, Mexican?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's born in America. I don't know. That some guy explained it to me. You got Latinos, you got Hispanics who are from Spain.
Yeah.
And then you got all the Mexicans who weren't born here went to help out in New Orleans.
Yeah, just say people that weren't born here. That way encompasses everybody.
And you can't say, well, they took all the jobs from the white people. Nobody wanted to help rebuild Louisiana. Had there been a line of people waiting to help with construction, then you know, Mexicans would have showed up and they go, well, there's nothing to do here. Oh, damn, there's plenty of hail damage. Luckily, we got suckered then. What is line one, Alfie?
She is a cop.
Yes, Sarah.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I am a Dallas police officer, and I just wanted to do some clarification for y'all regarding this story. The officer, this is the first time I've heard the story, so I can't say for sure, but I understand y'all said in the article that he was working at neighborhood patrol. Some officers do work off-duty in which they are paid by the citizens in that neighborhood, not necessarily by all of the citizens of Dallas, though it's an extra job coming out of, like, that neighborhood crime watch or whatnot.
Got it.
So that's that. And then as far as...
Whoa. Yeah. You're trying to make what point by saying he was working off... could have been working off duty?
Well, the officer Sanchez, who... Because y'all made the... You know, that someone in the...
No, I got it. Hey, just because you're a cop doesn't mean you can't walk all over me. it sounds like you're trying to defend him. I'm just trying to figure out, okay, let's say he was off duty in a squad car. How does that change everything?
Because as officers, we're allowed to work, like, extra jobs that are going to be off duty are approved by the city. Like these neighborhood, like certain parts of Dallas, they.
Man, I hope you're better at shooting people than talking.
you have your certain like neighborhood associations that are going to pay to have officers patrol their area, and they also pay extra.
Do you get what I'm trying to ask her?
I know what you're trying to ask her, and I know what she's trying to say.
I know, but she's going too far with it.
They are paying the officers.
I got it. You're absolutely right. But you're still going to have you're still going to have people complain, well, that still is a city-owned vehicle, and they're using that for something other than a human. Well, you know what?
Yep.
I don't really care. And if I got to start paying taxes, I live in Collin County. If I got to start paying taxes in Dallas County, I'll do it if officers continue with that mindset.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, she was driving erratically anyhow, so I'd rather him do that than her get into an accident and hurt somebody else, because then you'd have somebody else complain and say, well, why wasn't the officer there to begin with?
All right, so let me ask you, and don't lie to me because I'll know. Had this entire scenario happened to you, would you have driven that dog to an ER vet?
I can't say I would or not, because I am not necessarily a pet person. I didn't grow up around animals, so I can't answer that question. I wouldn't know.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, and then regarding the press, we officers are not allowed to talk to the press unless we get permission from our superiors, our sergeants.
Okay, all right. Okay, I got that. So why possibly would his sergeant or Chief Brown say, no, I don't want you talking to the media?
That I don't know. Because usually we have a certain media relation officers that are there. They're the ones that you always see on TV whenever you have a big story break.
But if it's good news,
if
it's good news, would they normally go, yeah, you get out there and you talk and you take credit for this?
I've only seen it a handful of times where I've actually seen the actual officer, whether it was a shooting where they... you know, save someone's life or, you know, in a good situation. I've honestly only seen it probably a handful of times where the officer was actually interviewed by the TV.
Where the officer actually got to talk to the media and not the chief or the sergeant or something.
Right.
What is it, Dan?
Usually,
calm down.
Don't worry about it.
What? No, go ahead and ask her. I got her calm down.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. What do you want to ask her?
Sarah, did you get permission from your senior officers to call us?
No.
Boop, boo.
But this is all common information if you look online.
I understand.
Yeah, but you said.
Well, I seriously doubt anybody in administration at DPD is going to give you grief for calling us.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, ma'am, for what you do.
You're welcome. I appreciate it. All right. Y'all have a good day.
Save a puppy. You'll feel better.
She hates animals.
Clearly, I'm trying to turn her.
You hate animals. Say it. Yeah, hang up on me.
Jeez, man. She hung up and kicked a puppy.
Oh. Virgin Mary. I'd hate to get stopped by her.
Okay, I can talk to you about all the laws of the city of Dallas.
Ma'am, can I
And I'll let you go.
No, okay, can I just
Or
get this,
I can just write you a ticket for... Everything that I've seen everybody else do today.
No, baby.
It's going to take at least 45 minutes. Officer, I don't think we're dating. Does it make any difference? I'm going to have to talk to you for at least 45 minutes before I can get to the point. Now, you can either listen to me or I can write you the ticket. And it's going to be big. Pretty big.
Hey, I think I want the ticket. I don't know.
Baby.
Oh, that's gonna extend the argument.
Oh, just because I'm a woman, you think you can call me baby? I'm a Dallas police officer. I have taken an oath. Now you're gonna listen to me for 45 minutes.
Oh dear God!
I swear to God, Mama, I will never drop my clothes off at the front door again. Oh, you know she's got to be extra wound up on Friday nights. Because that's when chicks seem to just accumulate everything, and then you get home.
You get the weak dump.
We need to talk. Oh. Wow. I just imagine getting pulled over, and a female cop walks up and goes, we need to talk.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, on a Friday night, if that happens now.
Oh, my God. Shoot me.
Holy sh.
What did I do? I can't be at home, so.
Oh, great. Now my wife's got the liaisons running around town, bitching at me on their behalf, her behalf. I got sort of what she was saying. Officers work off duty.
Yeah.
But citizens can still complain because that officer is wearing, I don't know if they make them buy their uniforms. I know they have to buy a lot of stuff that they wear. They didn't buy the car.
No.
So somebody's still going to complain if you used city equipment to drive a dog to the ER.
No, I used a city vehicle to serve the public, which is part of my job.
Well, you could have detained that woman and tell the dog, I'm being cute, but you know somebody would play it this way, and tell the dog was dead so she no longer had an emergency.
That didn't happen.
No, you threw the dog in the back of a squad car and used our city resources to save that animal's life.
Yes,
it's
it did.
An animal. How many animals do we put down on a regular basis?
That animal.
Well,
is
I'll
not
tell you right now, we don't put enough people down on a regular basis.
Okay, that's good. You go ahead.
There, it's like Dan's always said. It doesn't matter what the story is, anywhere, anytime, on TV, the internet, YouTube. It could be somebody saved a kitten that cost nobody anything. Not a dime. And that person that saved that cat is going to get death threats. Well, the cat had nipples with pennies attached to it. First of all, we know Chloe Rayburn did it.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how happy, how fluffy, how heart-wrenching the story is. Somebody's getting death threats. That pretty kid that works at Target in Frisco is getting death threats because I saw this on the news today. You don't deserve all this attention. Okay, so he deserves to die?
Yes.
And you justify that how, you big... And who's going to kill him? You? How are you going to get up the stairs from the basement? You rancid, morbidly obese PlayStation troll. Because you know it's not other good-looking guys that are sending death threats to that kid that works at Target.
Yeah, it's not Brad Pitt from his Twitter account.
Twittier?
Yeah, it came out bad.
That's okay. Certainly nothing from any other pretty celebrity like Luke Bryan.
Mm-mm.
No, man, I like to support my fellow good-looking gentleman. I Twittered.
That's okay. Run with it.
At the Alex from Target, and I said, "Hey, man, do you like whales?"
Hey, man.
Possibly you could. What's his name? Alex.
Yeah, Alex.
Possibly you could give Alex some tips on picking up chicks there, Luke.
Man, it should be pretty easy for him. He's already good looking, but just in
but
case.
But not everybody is.
Me, Luke Bryan, hi. So you start out saying, "Hi, I'm Luke Bryan." And then you say, "Hey, you know what would look great on you? A box of Fruit Loops."
Okay, I can see some people taking that as maybe a gay reference.
Well, you take it how you want, but this here is straight.
Are these all tested?
And Luke Bryan approved. Such as, this is a good one to start. I lost my cell phone number. Can I have a hug? Everyone wants a hug. Excuse me, but I'm new in town. Can I have directions to your puny pie? It does not show up on the Google Maps.
Nice.
My global put up. I can't say that one.
Hey, I'm Luke Bryan.
Yeah?
Is it hot in here, or is this just puke on my bolo tie?
Luke, I think I brought this up before. You know these don't really make any sense.
Shut up.
Okay, that one may be hot.
Mm-hmm. Hey, if I said you had a beautiful body, would you sing me a song about frogs? Do you chew gum with orphans often?
I don't see how that's going to make a chick want to come home with you.
Well, they don't necessarily immediately come home with you after you say these things. You got to work on it. You build up. You start with, "Hi, I'm Luke Bryan."
Okay, well,
CMA
ever,
Entertainer of the Year.
Now, very few people can get away with that. That Alex kid from Target.
No, he can say it.
At this point, he can probably say, "Hey, I'm Alex from Target."
He can give it a shot.
And chicks are already going to be wet, but then again, he wasn't voted
CMA Entertainer of the Year. For example, you can go up to a nice young woman and say, "Where have you been all my..." Never mind. Do you like knives?
I'm sorry, Luke. I think the whale line's always your big closer. Yeah. Even though Kenzie doesn't get it. She's just looked around when you threw it out yesterday.
Well, she didn't have to get it. They don't have to get it. All they got to do is get it enough to fall down on their back. Like a humpback. That's why you say, "Hey, do you like whales?"
Hang on. Line three, Alfie?
Right. Yeah.
Man, you're making me so wet.
I bet.
Hit me with some more of your pickup lines, then, Brian.
All right. What's a nice girl like you doing in a place that looks like a Frisbee?
I don't know what that means. It does not make me the wet.
Well, there's something wrong with you.
My name is Lukita Bryan.
Huh?
What? I might be related.
I don't think it's a might. I think we just confirmed it. Hey, is there an airport nearby, or is that just my heart taking off?
I don't know. I'm as stupid as you are. I am Lukita Bryan. Hi. That throw you off there, slick.
It's a little odd.
Remember the time that we got together and hugged Buck Owens' bone?
Yeah, that was a hell of an Eiffel Tower.
It was dark. What other pickup lines did you use on me there, Luke Bryan? Of Luke Bryan Toyota?
You know, if you were a drug, I would overdose on cheese.
I have
no idea where you're going.
I don't know.
All right, those are.
I'm almost wet. I am almost ready to go home with you, Luke Bryan.
I'm tired.
My name is Lukita Bryan, of no relation to you.
I don't think so.
So it would not be incestuous.
Ew.
Have you got a good closing Line four.
Yeah, I've had like four.
Yeah, I didn't hear any of them. I am not wet at this point. Right now, my vagina is very arid.
Well, I think I may have dropped something.
Did you lose a page from your script, Luke? Luckily, I'm just freewheeling it.
No, I think it might be my palsy again. I can't hang on to anything. Kind of like my love for you. It's like diarrhea. I just can't hold it in.
No, still not wet. I keep checking.
Well, you do it then.
Let me see the page.
Oh, damn. How many you got?
That's a lot. Oh, I got one. Well, actually, you do one since you're bragging.
Man, I'm sorry. Man,
you suck at this.
I'm not done yet.
Mm-hmm.
Your pants show is shiny.
Well, that was unexpected.
Yeah, I topped that one. Now you know what Johnny Carson felt like when Karnak was going bad. I tell you what, if you want, Luke,
mm-hmm.
I still got the Billy the Kid Sugar Lovers.
Man, I love sugar.
Oh, your nighttime story for kids.
Yeah, you should play that again.
That sound like a good save?
Mm-hmm. I'll take anything at this point. Should have been gone 20 minutes ago.
I like the way Dan hands me all those sheets. Here, you find the punchline.
Look at that. I made it rain.
All country stars live in dreamland. The Garth is my choice for a chug. I'm CMA Entertainer of the Year. Why is it so hard to get a f***ing hug? The big stars fly high above the treetops. Through the air they soar and they sweep. Some choose to play electric, some play unplugged. But for real, man, why can't I get f***ing hugged? Country music is supposed to be a family. Fans know we need love and they amply supply. A hug is really nice, I think we all agree. All I'm saying is, I'm Luke Bryan. Hi.
For more information on The Russ Martin Show, go to RussMartin.com. To get signed up for The Russ Martin Show audio archives, go to RussMartin.fm. Other show websites, DJClo.net, DanOMalley.com, and AlfieCoy.com. For all things 97.1 The Eagle, go to KEGL.com. Nikki 6 is up next.
All right, see you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, Friday.